Up pitches Johnny Bench of Cincinnati. Seaver, the pitcher from the New York Mets. Dick Allen of the St. Louis Cardinals at first base. Glenn Beckert and Don Kessinger of the Cubs down at second and short. Tony Perez of the hometown Cincinnati team is at third base. In left field, Rico Carty, the league's leading hitter. From the Atlanta Braves, Willie Mays of San Francisco in center field. And Hank Aaron in right field. As we told you, from the Atlanta Braves, he received more votes than anybody else. And very quickly, again, the American League batting lineup. Leading it off will be the oldest starter, Luis Aparicio, at age 36. This is his ninth All-Star baseball game, his seventh start, but his first All-Star baseball game since 1963. Kyle Dostumsky bats second in center field. Frank Robinson in right, batting third. John Boog Powell, the cleanup hitter, the first baseman from Baltimore. Harmon Killebrew, the third baseman from the Minnesota Twins, bats fifth. Frank Howard of Washington in left field, batting sixth. Dave Johnson of Baltimore, batting seventh, playing second base. Bill Freehand behind the plate, batting eighth. And Jim Palmer of Baltimore, the pitcher, batting ninth. Aparicio, with a .313 batting average, three home runs, 24 RBIs, steps in, right-handed batter with a closed stance, and in perhaps the closest voting in all of the American League this year, it was for a shortstop, and Aparicio went out over Rico Petrocelli of Boston. A big, wide, sweeping curve is what Seaver started Aparicio off with, and Luis was way out in front of it and fouled it back, barely getting a piece of the ball. Strike one to Aparicio as this 41st Major League All-Star Baseball game is underway. Temperature in the mid-80s here at the brand-new Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. Now he comes back with the fastball. It's a foul back in the booth next to us. And it's two strikes. I don't know, Sandy, if in All-Star play you look for that big sweeping curve on the first pitch of the ballgame.
I wouldn't think so, Jim. Not especially from a fellow like Seaver, who has not pitched since last Thursday.
Strikes him out on a fastball.
Not having pitched since last Thursday, this would just about be his regular turn in the rotation. He's got to be pretty strong, especially if you're just going to turn him loose for three innings and say, go as hard as you can.
Kyle Dostumsky, the All-Star center fielder. In voting for the outfield, they came up with Yastrzemski, Robinson, and Frank Howard, none of whom plays center field. So Carl, who recently has been playing a lot of first base for the Red Sox, got the vote, and he's in center field. Left-handed batter, holds the bat high, and takes an inside pitch from Seaver. Ball one. Yastrzemski hitting at .301, 21 home runs, 50 RBIs, and he's also stolen 16 bases. Everybody remembers Yastrzemski's great 1967 series. Time is called. They have someone on the field. And she is being let off. And I don't know who this is. There has been an exotic dancer by the name of Morgana who has been on the field all across the United States. And whether it is she or not, I don't know. But it is female, and she's being escorted off the field after not even making as far as the artificial turf. The count is empty.
I'll be honest, I'm not sure it's female. It looks like it may be a man with a wig or a little bit of a joke.
They have even had newspaper columns devoted to the possible appearance of Morgana. 1-0, the count. One out. We're in the top of the first inning of the Major League All-Star Baseball game number 41. Yastrzemski swings, fouls it very high, and back out of play. It's 1-1. Seaver, the pitcher, from the Mets, bench of Cincinnati, the catcher. On deck is Frank Robinson. Frank has a sore shoulder. Yesterday at the All-Star press luncheon, someone asked Frank, how's your injury? And the Baltimore Orioles outfielder said, which one? But he was speaking of his shoulder. Back with a curveball, hit up the middle, gets past the outstretched glove of Kessinger, and Yastrzemski's on with the first base hit of the All-Star baseball game. Hitting a 1-1 pitch, Seaver almost was able to stop it at the mound.
Jim, Seaver's thrown quite a few changeups in his brief time on the mound. This one out and one base hit here. But on that ground ball, you could just see the ball begin to pick up speed on this artificial surface. And that's the problem. Sometimes the ball is not hit very hard, but it begins to spin. And that's what the artificial surface does to it. And as it spins, it picks up a little bit speed. So the second and third bounce sometimes are a lot quicker than the first one was.
Frank Robinson steps in. He leads the American League in hitting at .330, right-handed batter. Six All-Star games with the National League, and this is his third with the American, a swinging strike one. Around each of the bases, first, second, and third, there are 20 by 20 patches of dirt. Otherwise, it is completely artificial surface, except, of course, for the pitching mound and around home plate. Strike on the outside corner. Bench fakes the throw to first. But back in plenty of time as the base runner, Yastrzemski. Down is two strikes to Frank Robinson.
I think your first impression of the way the fielder's playing, Jim, everybody seems to be deeper. The shortstop is back behind the line where normally the skin would be.
Robinson strikes out another fastball strikeout to Seaver. And as he strikes out Aparicio, so he does Frank Robinson on three pitches.
Jim, I think Tom Seaver may have been trying to get away with having an easy time here in the All-Star game. I'm sure he's aware of the fact that he's slated to start again on Thursday after the All-Star break and was trying to have as easy a three innings as he can. But after Yastrzemski got the hit, he really started to throw hard to Frank Robinson.
Luke Powell, 73 RBIs, 23 home runs stepping in. Left-handed batter takes a changeup for strike one. Hitting at 320. Yastrzemski, slight lead off first base. Dick Allen of the Cardinals holding him on there. Yastrzemski can move outside with the pitch and low. It's 1-1. The Boog Powell, Harmon Killebrew of the Minnesota Twins, last year's most viable player in the American League, is on deck. When the top of the first, no score, Yastrzemski at first base with a base hit up the middle. 1-1 the count to Big John Boog Powell, all 6'4", better than 230 pounds. Swings, hits it high in the air, in the infield. Tony Perez of Cincinnati will get the honor, making the last out in the first inning, and does so. A run, one hit, no errors, one left. And in the middle of the first inning, the American League nothing, with the National League coming to bat.
Bottom of the first, the National League coming to bat is Jim.
Setting the defense for you for the American League now, Jim Palmer. Warming up, of course, Palmer had a great history of injuries after being a star of the 1966 season in the World Series, but has come back and is 12-6 thus far this year from Baltimore. Bill Freehan is behind the plate from Detroit. Boog Powell of Baltimore at first, Davey Johnson of Baltimore down at second, Luis Aparicio of the White Sox at short, Harmon Killebrew of Minnesota at third, Frank Howard of Washington in left, Carl Yastrzemski of Boston in center, Frank Robinson of Baltimore in right. The batter is Willie Mays. This is his 21st All-Star game, the seventh time he has led off an All-Star game. Takes a called strike from Palmer. Back in 1965, Mays led off with a home run. And that's only been done three times in the previous 40 years of Major League All-Star play. Palmer, a right-hander, comes back, misses outside. It's 1-1 to Willie Mays, hitting at 272, 619 home runs. Second only to the great Babe, 19 of those this year. Last year, Mays hit only 13 home runs all year, but has 19 already this year. 47 RBIs, big swinging strike. Mays, the big scoreboard in center field shows, holds the All-Star records for most at-bats, most runs, most hits, most stolen bases, and most total bases. Outside of that, Willie hasn't been doing much lately. Count is 1-2 to him. Palmer, the right-hander, throws inside. Mays leans away from the fastball. It's 2-2. Lumen Harris, the manager of Atlanta, is coaching at first base, and Leo DeRocher, the manager of the Chicago Cubs, over at third. And Mays strikes out, swinging.
Tim Palmer's got good stuff also. We've talked about Tom Seaver, the fact that he has good stuff. Palmer throws very hard. He's got a good slider and a good curveball. If Jim has had any problem in his career, it's been a little bit with control, but mostly with injuries. He's never really been able to put a full year together without being either sick or hurt or having a problem of staying in the major leagues. But this year, he's started well. He's having a good year. And as you say, it's his first All-Star year. And he looks like he's going to become the kind of pitcher everybody thought he would.
Dick Allen of the Cardinals takes a big swing at Palmer's first pitch, strike one. As we said, in other years, we have called Dick Richie. But after going to the Cardinals, he announced he wanted to be called Dick. So it is Dick Allen hitting a 285, 25 home runs, 72 RBIs. Palmer's right back in a high inside fastball that Allen ducks under. And it's 1-1 with Palmer. Allen, while with the Phillies, set the home run marks for Philadelphia as a first baseman, as a third baseman, and as an outfielder. Back with a big curve, but it stays high and out of the strike zone. It's 2-1. To Allen with Hank Aaron, who got more votes than anybody else in the voting, conducted for the first time since 1957 by you, the public, is on deck. By the way, Commissioner Bowie Kuhn said also at yesterday's press luncheon that he was sure that it was his intention that they would have the fans vote again next year. Fastball, and Allen is swinging and missing. It's 2-2. One out. We're in the last of the first. No score in this All-Star Baseball game from the brand-new Riverfront Stadium, almost completely artificially turfed in Cincinnati, Ohio. Palmer peering in for the sign and throws, drive to right field. Back goes Frank Robinson, back near the warning track, back near the wall, and has it against the wall.
Ball was well hit by Richie Allinger. It was hit to the opposite field. Richie's very strong, and here in this big ballpark, Frank Robinson had a lot of room. He went back all the way to the wall, did finally bang into the wall as he caught the ball. But I think it fooled Palmer a little bit. He just trying to get the ball out away from Richie and keep it in the ballpark, and Richie hit it a long way.
Hank Aaron, 19th All-Star game, his 13th start. Hitting a 314 on the year with Atlanta, 24 home runs and 71 RBIs. And Palmer is ready and hits the outside corner with a fastball at strike one. Two outs. Yastrzemski of Boston has the only hit in the ballgame when the last of the first. Palmer's a little high with his next pitch. It's 1-1 to Aaron. Tony Perez of Cincinnati kneels on deck. This is his stadium. They closed up Crosley Field at the end of June, and this is the new home of what they call the Big Red Machine, the Cincinnati Reds. Palmer misses with his next pitch. It's 2-1. Aparicio is in where the skin of the infield would normally be, but Davey Johnson is deep, and the ball is hit to Aparicio on two giant hops. He guns the ball over to Powell, low throw, but in plenty of time, and Aaron is out. And at the end of one inning, the National League and American League are scored. Back in Cincinnati, Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax. Armin Killebrew leads off the top of the second inning, takes an outside pitch from Seaver. It's ball one. Killebrew, right-handed batter from Minnesota, big swing and miss for strike one. And 1-1. Harmon, last year's most valuable player in the American League, hitting .322, leading the league in home runs with 26, and he has 72 RBIs. 10th All-Star game is six starts. Seaver, the right-hander of the Mets, ready again, low and away. Ball hits the... There, Johnny Bench digs it out and throws it back to Tom. It's 2-1 to Harmon Killebrew. A hot, muggy night. Attendance, 51,838. That's an attendance figure they could have put up there before the game began. It's been sold out for some time. Big swing and a miss by Killebrew, and it's 2-2. Now we look at both Beckert, and they've got the shift on for Killebrew. Beckert is on the third base side of second and almost in short center field, out past where the skin of the infield would be. Killebrew, though, strikes out, swinging. And that's the third strikeout for Tom Seaver.
Jim, I think we should describe this infield a little bit. There is no dirt as the base path portion, but they have white lines to designate where it would normally be. It is all the green artificial surface, but you can see the outline by a white line drawn all the way around the infield, so you can sort of tell where the infielders are playing.
Frank Howard stepped in, turned to Al Barlick, the National League umpire, and Barlick walked out and asked Tom Seaver for the baseball, looks at it, and tosses it back to Seaver. And as Howard of the Washington Center stepped in, you could hear the boos of the crowd. Frank is a big man, listed at 6'7". And he says he plays at about 260. There are those who will say it's more like 280. Frank hitting .282, 24 home runs, most of them giant blasts, 67 RBIs. Third All-Star game and his third start. Big right-handed batter. One out on the top of the second in the scoreless All-Star baseball game. And he swings that big shot and misses. Strike one. Four men have struck out six in an All-Star game. Most recently, Ferguson Jenkins a couple of years ago, 1967. Fastball down the middle, strike two. Carl Hubbell, remember his great feat? The men that he struck out? Ruth, Gary, Simmons, Fox, Cronin. Outside and high from Tom Seaver. It's one ball, two strikes to Frank Howard. Aparicio led off at the American League by striking out on three pitches. Yastrzemski single went up the middle. Robinson, Frank, struck out on three pitches, and Powell popped out. Since that time, Killebrew has also struck out, and big Frank Howard strikes out, and that's the fourth for Tom Seaver.
The Seaver looks like he's throwing very well tonight. He isn't throwing his good fastball all the time. He gets two strikes on the hitter, and all of a sudden, there's just a little bit extra on that fastball, and it's given the American League hitters a lot of trouble up to now.
Well, we were talking about that All-Star record, Sandy. Six strikeouts. And, of course, a pitcher can only work three innings unless it goes to extra innings, and Seaver already has four. Breaking pitch low and away from the next batter, Davey Johnson of Baltimore, hitting .299, playing second base. His first start, he was on the 1968 squad, played and was 0-for-1. He was named last year but was hurt and didn't get to play. Strike two swinging. And since Rod Carew is injured and out of active baseball, at least until September, according to President Calvin Griffith of the Minnesota Twins, Davey Johnson is down at second base. Well, Seaver's out in front of Johnson now, already with four strikeouts. Comes back, Johnson gets a piece of it and fouls it to the screen. You know, some people say, Sandy, that you dwell too much on statistics of baseball, but those who love and follow baseball, statistics are just like the basic course. And here we are, six strikeouts to record, and Seaver already with four, and we're not yet through the second inning. Just misses. Seaver started to walk off the mound. He thought he had strikeout number five.
Tim, I think the whole National League team thought he had strikeout number five. Johnny Bench started to leave. The whole infield was on its way out. The only one that said no was Al Varley.
2-2 the count. Seaver back, hit high in the air, and into short right field. Aaron circled back and over. Willie Mays is there. Aaron will make the catch, and it's another 1-2-3 inning for the American League. A run tipped through errors and none left. And now again, here's a word from Len Dillon. The crowd here at the Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati in the shortest ball game as we open the second cheers the arrival of Tony Perez, hitting .356, leading the National League with 29 home runs and 90 RBIs, and of course, he plays for the Cincinnati Reds. Right-handed batter, closed stance, Jim Palmer of Baltimore, the right-handed pitcher, staring in and throws high to Perez, ball one. The American League, no runs, one hit, no errors. The National League up only for the second time, went down 1-2-3 in their half of the first inning. Palmer ready again, throws again. This one is shoulder high, a little bit lower than the shoulder, says Barlick, and it's a strike. 1-1. Palmer back, fouled off to the right. It's 1-2, up in the seats. The classic, of course, I think some of the folks here, Sandy, believe they're watching the Cincinnati Reds play. Of course, a foul at Perez, and with the All-Star break and already 90 RBIs and 29 home runs and a .356 average, you know the kind of year he's already had, let alone at the finish. Fastball from Palmer is high, and it's 2-2. Armin Killebrew very deep at third base for the right-handed Perez. Palmer throws, swinging strike three for Tony Perez, and that's the second strikeout for Jim Palmer.
I think it begins to show up that if you've got good pitching out there and they're having a good night, no matter how good the hitters are, they're going to dominate the ball game. And so far, Tom Seaver and Jim Palmer have taken charge of this ball game, and even these great hitters have not handled them or not even looked too good at the plate.
Every one of the six strikeouts thus far, four by Seaver, two by Palmer, have been swinging strike threes. Here's Rico Carty, and he takes another high pitch from Palmer. Carty leads the National League in hitting .365, and it's his first All-Star game, and he was a write-in candidate, and he made it the big from the Atlanta Braves. Back again, Palmer's pitches tonight, even though he has not been hurt thus far, Sandy, are high.
Jimmy, he has good enough stuff to get away with picking up a little bit. I don't think Jim likes to do it as a regular routine, but he could get away with it for a few innings.
He's high again, and this time outside, and it's 3-0. The National League has yet to have a base runner.
Too, another thing, he said that all the strikeouts have been swinging. Well, you look at that lineup. There's nobody down there getting paid for taking. They're all pretty good swingers to bat.
3-0 to Carty, and he has looked down to DeRocher and takes another high pitch. And on four pitches, all of them high, Carty draws the walk. And Johnny Bench of Cincinnati, the catcher, hitting .285 with 28 home runs, comes up. Has its first base runner, Enrico Carty at first base. And Johnny Bench, who was on the All-Star squad as a rookie, and this is his third year in the National League, this is his third All-Star game, and his second start. Last year, he hit a home run. Palmer ready and throws outside, ball one. While Palmer was trying to come back, the story goes in one of the Cincinnati papers this morning, he was down at Rochester, and Johnny Bench was also in the International League, and Palmer had the bases loaded, and Earl Weaver, at that time the manager of Rochester, walked out and said he's a ting-pong hitter. Palmer threw one down the middle, and Bench had a grand slam home run. Now, with the pitch outside, Palmer has thrown six straight balls since striking out Tony Perez to lead off the last of the second. Cardi short lead. He's still within that 20 by 20 section of dirt at first base. Here's the strike. Bench looked as though he might offer at it, although you would think that he was taking, so now he stares down to Leo DeRocher of the Cubs, who's coaching at third base. Palmer already is dripping wet. It's a very humid night in Cincinnati. Just before game time, the temperature was 87 degrees. 2-1 pitch. Again on the corner. 2-2. Tonight's broadcast not only heard throughout the United States on NBC, but through AFRTS, overseas, in Europe, and in Southeast Asia, wherever you are, Japan, Danny Koufax and I greet you from Cincinnati, Ohio, in the brand new Riverfront Stadium. Scoreless ball game. Breaking pitch, Bench fouls it back. 2-2. Last of the second inning, one out, that's Perez's strikeout. Cardi with a walk on four pitches down at first base. And 2-2 to Johnny Bench in this scoreless ballgame. The 1968 game, remember, was 1-0 when Mays got on and scored an unearned run as the first man up for the National League down in the Astrodome. Fouled back in four dust and over our heads behind home plate. Count remains 2-2 to Johnny Bench. Bench is a youngster, only 22 years old, born in Oklahoma City, lives in Cincinnati, and back in 1967 when Jim Palmer was trying to work out his arm problems at Rochester and Bench hit that grand slam off of him, he was only the minor league player of the year. Palmer in the stretch, looking at Cardi, and comes back, and again Bench fouls it back. There is a breeze blowing within this Riverfront Stadium, and I'm sure it's swirling around, but the flag out on right center field is blowing from center toward right. Don Kessinger of the Chicago Cubs on deck. Palmer again on the stretch. Infield a double play depth, and Bench strikes out on a low pitch outside.
Palmer has thrown Bench quite a number of fastballs in a row and got Johnny set up for it pretty well and came back with a slider or a curveball. Looked more like the slider, low, just a little bit off the plate, low outside, and Bench went after it. It was a bad ball, but it's a good pitch from Palmer's point of view.
Palmer's now struck out three, and Seaver has struck out four. Here's Don Kessinger, the switch hitter from Chicago, batting left-handed against the right-handed Palmer. Don hitting 281, not known for power, has one home run this year. Last year, he hit a total of four. But last year, he also won the Golden Glove. And last Saturday, Sandy and I were in Chicago for a Chicago Cup game, and Kessinger had some kind of day afield. A foul laced down along the third baseline. It curves into the seats, and it's 1-1 to Kessinger. Kessinger, of course, was playing then in what they call the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. Tonight, he's on this artificially turfed infield and outfield, first time in his career. 1-1 to Don. Cardi still at first base. High outside pitch from Palmer. It's 2-1. Two out, last of the second, no score.
Sure, I think Kessinger is the kind of hitter that this artificial surface would really help. Normally, he's hitting left-handed. He doesn't have great power. The infield, the outfield would be playing him shallow, but on a field like this, they can't afford to play too shallow because the ball gets by them easy, so he'll have a chance to drop the ball in front of outfielders that he doesn't have on a regular field.
Kessinger fouls the next pitch back, and the count remains 2-2 to the Chicago Cubs shortstop in his third All-Star game. He has yet to have a hit in All-Star play. He's been up five times before and is hitless. Len Beckert, his teammate from the Cubs, standing on deck. Over behind first base, where President Nixon and his party are seated. Up the middle and might get through. Aparicio tries to flag it down. Cannot, playing in shallow center field as Jastrzemski picks it up very quickly. And Potty has to stop at second. And the National League has its first base hit.
And there was a ball that was not hit too well. Aparicio was playing around toward second base. But I think on this field, the ball, the ground balls do pick up so much speed that the ball does not slow down. It gets going fast, and that ball got through the infield. I think in a normal field, the ball probably would have been caught and fielded by Aparicio behind second.
Len Beckett of the Chicago Cubs hitting .261. And speaking of strikeouts, as we have, here's the man that's been the toughest to strike out in the National League for the last 4 years. He takes the ball inside from Jim Palmer. Beckett, very close stance, right-handed batter, always manages to get a piece of the ball, chokes up on the bat, Palmer ready, and throws high again, 2-0. When Jim has been wild, for example, when he walked Rico Carty, in this, the second inning, he walked him on four pitches, and all of them were up. When he struck out Bench, it was on a slider, blown away. Carty down at second, Kessinger on first, two out. Back with a breaking pitch, but again it's high and slightly outside, and it's 3-0 to Kessinger. Looking down to the American League bullpen, no activity. The American League has quite a few they can call in. Mike Fliar, Sam McDowell, who's scheduled to go next, Dave McNally, Fritz Peterson, Jim Terry, Clyde Wright, Jim Hunter, Mel Stottlemyre. Drive on three hops to Davey Johnson, who sidearms at the Boo Palace teammate at first base, and the National League goes down on no runs, one hit, no errors, and two left at the end of two complete. It's a scoreless ballgame. Bill Freehand will lead it off in the third inning for the American League in this scoreless ball game at the Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio. The 41st Major League All-Star Baseball game. The Riverfront Stadium right by the Ohio River. As a matter of fact, they even have what they call flood control here. Flood walls to prevent the Ohio from overflowing as it did years ago and flooded Crosley Field. Bill Freehand, his fifth consecutive start as a catcher for the American League from Detroit, hitting .218, 13 home runs, 33 RBIs, right-handed batter, has led the American League in getting hit by pitches the last couple of years, but this pitch is on the outside corner, strike one to Freehand. Tom Seaver working with four strikeouts, all of them swinging. He's given up a ground ball base hit back through the middle by Yastrzemski and has walked nobody. Blown away from Seaver, and this will be Tom's last inning. Jim Merritt now warms up. Former American leaguer, left-hander, now down in the National League bullpen. He'll be coming on in the next inning. Seaver back with a 1-1 pitch, drilled to center field. Willie Mays running to his left, now taps his glove and has it for the first out. Well hit by Bill Freehan, and Jim Palmer, the pitcher, will bat for himself. Palmer's 1-12, lost 6, and of course plays for Earl Weaver for the Baltimore Orioles. And, of course, Baltimore is having a grand time in the Eastern Division of the American League, leading Detroit by six big games. Palmer takes a swing at the first pitch. It was in on his fists. It's strike one.
Jim Palmer is a pretty good hitting pitcher. He's not hit for that good an average this year, but he's got good power and hit a few home runs in his career.
Tries to bunt. Perez Bang G comes with a barehanded kick, throws and has it. Fine play by Tony Perez.
Very, very fine play by Tony Perez. He was playing deep. He was playing very deep. And the bunt play is even more difficult, I would think, on this kind of an infield. It's very tough to keep your footing. And Perez came in, made the play, picked the ball up cleanly, and threw from that off-balance position and made just a great throw. If the throw is a little bit off where Richie Allen can't stretch, he can't make the play.
Aparicio, who struck out on three pitches, is back. With two out in the third inning for the American League of a scoreless game, Aparicio, right-handed batter from Chicago, takes outside ball one. Tom Seaver, the New York Mets, is ready to throw again and does. Ground ball, chance for Beckett at second base, scoops it up, throws on to Dick Allen at first base, and it's another 1-2-3 inning, and Seaver is through with his pitching, and he is not allowed a run. In the middle of the third inning, the American League nothing and the National League nothing.
The score at the end of 2.5 innings, American League nothing, the National League nothing. Jimmy?
Well, in Montreal, they call him Le Grand Orange. Rusty Staub, the red-headed outfielder with the Montreal Expos. And quite a star he is up there, too. The Expos representative with the National League, and he'll be batting for Tom Seaver, who has completed his pitching chores. Staub, hitting at .293, has 15 home runs, 55 RBIs. Palmer's first pitch to left-hander is a strike at the knees on the outside corner. No score. Staub will be followed by Willie Mays, who is on deck, and then Dick Allen. There's not been anything close to a scoring threat, although with two out, the last inning, pitch is inside from Palmer, and it's 1-1. Carty got as far as second after walking, and Kessinger grounded a single up the middle. Same kind of hit that Yastrzemski had, the only hit for the American League. Palmer with the 1-1 pitch is back, high in the air. Frank Robinson, Carl Yastrzemski there. Yastrzemski in right center field takes it for the first out.
Tim, I think right now we have to be a little careful on how we call some of these fly balls. We've reached the point of the evening where it's very difficult to see fly balls. It's not dark enough yet, and it's not light enough. The sky is just a light blue, and at this time in a ball game, a lot of fly balls are lost by outfielders. There's not enough contrast, so any ball that goes up right now, the outfielders could have a little bit of trouble with.
Willie Mays, who struck out swinging, takes high from Palmer. Ball one. We're in the last of the third. No runs, one hit, no errors for the American League, and the same line score for the Nationals. 0-1-0 in the 41st Major League All-Star Game. Palmer back again, and his pitch again is high and away. And it's 2-0 to Willie Mays. Jim Palmer also working his last inning, and so Sam McDowell of Cleveland is warming up. Jim Merritt of Cincinnati will come in to pitch the fourth inning for the National League. Palmer throws, fouled high, over toward the seats, over quickly is Powell. There's a ball boy right there who didn't see him behind it, and he takes it for the second out.
You know, I think it's a good thing that Powell did see the ball that day, because Bill Freehand could not find it. As we talked about the sky being tough, Bill looked up and never left home plate. He was just looking all around, and Boop Powell saw it all the way and came in and almost ran down the ball boy who didn't know where to go. He was watching Freehand.
And, of course, the ball boy, I guess, is 15, 16, maybe Sandy, in about 5, 6, or 7, and 140. And Big Boo Cowell was bearing down on him. Here's Dick Allen, who flies deep to right. And he takes ball one from Jim Palmer. Cowell's at first, Johnson at second, Aparicio at short, Killebrew at third, Howard in left, Yastrzemski in center, Robinson in right, freehand behind the plate, and Palmer with a 1-0 pitch. Allen swings and misses. Strike one, it's 1-1. The only change that we've had, and believe me, we'll have a lot of changes before this game is over, has been Rusty Staub has batted for Tom Seaver. Wide to right center. Swinging strike again by Allen. It's 1-2. Seaver worked 3 innings, gave up 1 hit, a ground ball single up the middle by Yastrzemski. Struck out 4 and walked nobody. And now he can look ahead to starting again on Thursday when regular play continues over the second half of the season. 1-2 the count for Dick Allen. Drive right to second baseman Davey Johnson. No runs, hits, or errors, and at the end of 3 complete now. The American League nothing and the National League nothing.
And Dylan, we're in the top of the fourth inning, and the score is nothing-nothing. The National League and the American League in this 41st All-Star game.
And Jim Merritt, the left-hander of Cincinnati, prepared to throw to his first batter, Carl Yastrzemski of Boston, who has the American League's only hit, that ground ball single up the middle. Merritt, a left-hander, who has won 14 and lost 7 for the Reds this year, 3.47 is earned run average. He's the only one on the National League squad who played formally in the American League. Whereas on the American League squad, Frank Robinson, Frank Howard, Mike Cuellar, Sandy Alomar, Alex Johnson, Tommy Harper, Amos Otis, all played in the National League. Yastrzemski standing off deck as Johnny Bench runs out and talks to his teammate, and now his battery mate in the All-Star game, Jim Merritt. Yastrzemski hit a one-ball, one-strike pitch right up the middle over the mound, past Tom Seaver, and in the center field for the only hit. Now he drives one deep to center field. Back goes Willie Mays, looking as though he has it all away, taps his glove near the wall and takes it. About 400 feet away.
The ball was hit very hard by Kyle Yastrzemski. You can watch Mays and tell that he's going to catch the ball. It was fairly evident. He was backing up slowly. If there's going to be a problem, he'd get to the wall so that he'd have a chance to jump. But Willie just sort of trailed the ball back slowly and caught it right at the base of the wall.
Frank Robinson, who struck out on 3 pitches against Tom Seaver, faces the left-hander Merritt and takes inside from Jim. Ball one. Well, thus far, there's been no scoring at all. The National League did get one man as far as second base in the second inning. Other than that, no. Robinson almost goes into the ground like a corkscrew, swinging and missing on a pitch from Merritt. 1-1 to Frank Robinson, who's bothered with a sore shoulder, but although Earl Weaver could take players out, he's going with the starting lineup here in the fourth inning. He has to play them for 3, but this is inning number 4. Back again, and Merritt's pitch catches the outside corner. Strike two. Frank Robinson doesn't think so, walks away. The umpire, and he's got to be warm tonight, Al Bartlett, wearing that chest protector underneath a jacket. And the temperature now is at least 85, and it feels as though the humidity is the same. One and two, back with the ball that bounces in the dirt, and it's 2-2 to Frank Robinson.
Yeah, I noticed earlier in the game there seemed to be some breeze up above the stadium. The flags were moving, but right now they're just still, and it seems to be getting warmer. I'm sure before the night's over, it's going to have its effect on the umpire, Al Bartlett.
Sam McDowell continues to warm, if that be the word, down in the American League bullpen, down in left field. 2-2, the count to Frank Robinson, who struck out. And he's called out on the changeup.
This is the first two pitchers we've seen here tonight. Seaver and Palmer both are great stuff. Merritt comes out. He is not the kind of guy who throws as hard as the first two guys, but he has great changes of speed. He has a fine curveball. He has good control. He knows how to pitch. I think we've seen an example of it here in these just first two hitters.
Boog Powell popped to Perez to end the first inning. His last time up, the big giant left-handed batter. Facing the left-hander, Jim Merritt on the mound, and the pitch is blown away from him. Ball one. Two out in the fourth inning before 51,838. Our radio broadcast tonight traveling around the world in American Forces Radio and Television Service. Another low and away pitch from Boog Powell, and that seems to be the best place to pitch a man that big.
I think you look at the scoreboard, and you've got a big ballpark, and like this new one in Cincinnati, and it's two out, nobody on the inning. You try and keep the ball away from the hitter and try and keep it in the park. You give him the base hit to the opposite field, but try not to let him hit the home run.
I asked Sandy today about Tom Seaver's saying that sometimes with this kind of artificially turfed ground that you might try to hit men, make the men hit the ball in the air instead of on the ground. And Sandy's retort was, I've never seen a ground ball go into the stands for a home run. Change up, and Powell's way out in front of it, and it's 2-2.
I think the artificial surface may cause more runs to be scored, Jim, but I think it'll happen for both clubs, so I think a pitcher still has to do his job the best way he knows how.
In the fourth inning, five American leaguers have struck out against National League pitching. Fouled off deep into left field stands by Powell, and three National Leaguers were struck out by Jim Palmer, who is now through. Palmer worked his three innings, gave up one hit, struck out three, and walked one. McDowell will be next up. Merritt ready with a 2-2 pitch, and Powell hits it deep to center field. Willie Mays comes over. It's not that deep, really. Taps his glove, and in left center field makes the basket catch. The runs hit to errors. In the middle of the fourth, we still have a scoreless ball game. The American and National League, no score.
The score at the end of three and a half innings, American League nothing, the National League nothing.
Big Sam McDowell has led the American League in strikeouts for quite some time, four times in the last 5 years. And he leads the major leagues in strikeouts this year, 183 in 177 innings. And the man he's going to face is Henry Hank Aaron, with 24 home runs. 71 RBIs, he grounded the shortstop. McDowell's first pitch from the big left-hander is strike one. Both Weaver of the American League and Hodges of the National started with the right-hander, and both have gone to left-handers as their second pitcher. One strike pitch to the right-handed Hank Aaron is way up high for McDowell, and it's one and one.
Yeah, we've talked about the other pitchers in this ballgame so far and said that they had good stuff, that they threw hard, but I think you have to look at Sam McDowell and say that he throws harder probably than anybody else in the ballgame.
One and one, and this time he changes on his speed, and it's outside, two and one. Down in the bullpen for the National League is Hoyt Wilhelm, who later on in the month will be 47 years old, and yet he's not the oldest player ever to play in an All-Star game. Know who is? 2-1 the count. Ground ball charging at his Killebrew. McDowell's off. Has to make the throw. And has he? On a fine play by McDowell. Breaking across and actually throwing from foul territory down the third baseline.
This is a very fine play by McDowell. It's a tough play for the left-handed pitcher to make. He's going after the ball towards third base. Facing the wrong way. He has to make a full circle to make the play and throw a good runner in Aaron out at first.
One out now in the last of the fourth inning of this scoreless All-Star game. And the answer to the question is, who is the oldest to play in an All-Star game? Leroy Satchel Paige, who was just 47 when he played in the All-Star game. Tony Perez, who struck out swinging, leading off the second inning. Up now, right-handed batter with those 29 home runs and 90 RBIs and swings and misses at a McDowell fastball. And that is what you call smoke sending. Big Sam McDowell. And when they had the higher mound and when he looked down at you, all 6 feet, 5 inches of him, quite an awesome man because he throws hard. Back with another hard one, but it's inside. It's 1-1. The charge against McDowell has been that he has tried to use too many pitches when he can resort almost exclusively to the fastball. And they say this year, Sam is sticking with what he does best, and that's why he's here. Fouled off to the right. It's 1-2 now to Perez.
Mr. McDowell has a great fastball and also has a great curveball, but he has been wanting to throw screwballs and changeups and sliders and occasionally even probably a knuckleball. And I think they've accused him of being a young Tom Edison on the mound. But as you say, this year, Sam just keeps going out there and throwing hard and done a great job for Cleveland.
1-2 the count. McDowell back and ready to throw and has Perez striking out, swinging for the second time. McDowell, first strikeout. Fourth strikeout for the National Leaguers, and here's Rico Cotty, who drew a walk from Jim Palmer on four pitches. Two out in the last of the fourth of a scoreless ball game. Leo DeRocher coaching at third. Lumen Harris of Atlanta at first for the American League. Ralph Houck of the Yankees is at first base, and Lefty Phillips of the surprising California Angels is over third. Gil Hodges manages the National Leaguers, of course, as the Mets chief, and Earl Weaver from Baltimore manages the American League. And we've got a scoreless game as Cardi, the right-hander, steps in and takes a strike right at the knees on the outside corner. Gaylord Perry, whose brother Jim Perry plays for the American League, Gaylord Perry, the San Francisco Giants, is stretching his knees and preparing to warm up down along the right field line. McDowell simply blew this one right past Cardi, whose swing was way behind time. The scoreboard thus far shows no balls and no strikes. Now the scoreboard has gone completely out as the ball punched down into that National League bullpen and now rebounds onto the field where it's picked up out there by Frank Robinson. Two strikes to Rico Cardi with two out in the last of the fourth. Well, it's a muggy night in Cincinnati, but nothing like what happened in Washington last year when the dugouts filled up with water and they had to play it on a Wednesday afternoon. Low at the knees, freehand bobbled the ball for the moment. Connie looks back at Al Bolick, who says it's ball one. 1-2. There have been no changes other than a pinch hitter and the required pitching changes at the end of three. Both managers sticking with the lineups that the fans have voted. 1-2 pitch off the corner with a fastball, and it's 2-2.
Jim, I think you can tell that this is sort of a shakedown cruise for this ballpark. The scoreboard has broken down, and they've got the score on the message board now.
Staring in, Sam McDowell, ready for the 2-2 pitch to Cardi. Ground ball, right back to McDowell, who can leap high because he's a tall man and easily throws him out. No runs, hits or errors at the end of four complete. American League nothing and the National League nothing. Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax and Len Dillon back at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. And now we have our first changes. Defensively, Pete Rose of Cincinnati has gone to right field. He's won the batting championship the last 2 years. And in left field, it is Jim Hickman of the Chicago Cubs. A hitter getting better than 330. And we see Tony Oliva of Minnesota warming up down in the bullpen, and he obviously will come over in the last of this inning. Rose will bat first. While Hickman will bat fifth. Armin Killebrew, the batter, to face Jim Merritt. Killebrew struck out to lead off the second inning. We've got no score. Merritt, the left-hander, throws the right-hander, Killebrew, and it's low. And it's ball one. And again, Bolick calls for the ball. And Sandy, that's the most we've seen anyone call for baseball in recent games. Bolick must have inspected four or five of them thus far this evening.
It's a little unusual in that this field, the ball should not get as dirty as it would on a normal field.
Ground ball past Perez on one hop. Gloved by Hickman of Chicago in left field, and Killebrew has the second American League hit. And the first off, Jim Merrick.
Killebrew's a real fine off-speed hitter. Now I tried to change on him, and Harmon hit the ball, line drive into left field. I believe we're going to have a pinch runner now for Harmon. Tommy Harper has gone in to run. Killebrew is all done for the night with that base hit.
Tommy Harper, of course, last year had a great year. Stole more bases in the American League than anybody since Ty Cobb way back in 1915 when he stole 96. Harper last year stole 73. And, of course, Harper having a great year this year in the stolen base department with nearly 50. Big Frank Howard takes low from Merritt. Howard, a big right-handed batter. Merritt, a left-handed pitcher. No score, but the leadoff man, Killebrew, single, and Harper is running for it. Harper, of course, the representative of the Milwaukee Brewers. And with a good leadoff first base. Harper used to play for Cincinnati. And on that move to the plate, as Howard swings and misses, Harper was moving back to first base.
Jim Merritt has a fine move to first base. He hasn't thrown over there yet. Until he does, Harper can't be too sure just how good that move is. So Merritt may not throw over there and just keep Harper guessing.
1-1 the count to Howard. Now he lopped one over there. I think I said Harper had nearly 50 strikeouts. That is incorrect. He has 28. Howard struck out back in the second inning against Tom Seaver. Wait, Seaver throws inside. And it's 2-1 to Frank Howard of the Washington Senators, wearing the gray traveling uniform with the red numbers and the red batting helmet. Don Kessinger has gone way back. Ball is in the dirt to Howard. And it's 3-1. The National League has not given up a walk yet. Harper, of course, talking about his steals, not his strikeouts. Tommy now ventures out to 1 foot on the artificial surface. And so Merritt's going to throw over there, and Harper's back in plenty of time. 3-1 the count to Howard, the leadoff batter here in the fifth inning of a scoreless all-star baseball game. Killebrew singled, Harper's taken his place at first base, and Howard is the second batter. The 3-1 pitch, let's see if they've got him swinging. They do. Drive to left field, not too deep. Back goes Kessinger, in comes Hickman. Hickman takes it for the first out. They allowed the big slugger to swing on the 3-1 pitch. And he flies to short left field. Harper retreats across the first base, and here comes Dave Johnson to fly to right field. Johnson on 2-2 took a pitch that the National League thought was, they had a pitch out going for Harper at first base that the National League thought was strike three. It was not, and Johnson went on to fly to right field to end the inning. That was in the second. The applause you hear is that the scoreboard is working again. Merritt ready to throw to Dave Johnson, but instead checks over at first base, and Harper's back in plenty of time. Harper, those 73 stolen bases last year. That was with Seattle before he moved on. Over. Made a move as if to go, and Johnson puts one down the right field line in foul territory. Over is Allen, and also the second baseman Beckert, and he takes it. Two outs.
That's the second baseman's ball. If he can get to it, he has a better angle than the first baseman does. The first baseman has to turn around and go straight back down the line. And Glenn Becker, coming over from his position at second base, had a better shot at it, called Richie Allen off of it, and made the play.
Well, Killebrew hit the changeup for a line drive single to left, but since then, Frank Howard has flied to short left, and Johnson has fouled out. Here's Bill Freehan, who lined to center field to open the third inning. No runs, two hits, no errors for the American League. No runs, one hit, no errors for the National League. There goes Harper. Back to throw. He's a good catcher down there. He's got it. Hits no runs, one hit, no errors. And thanks to Johnny Bench's throw, nobody left. In the middle of the fifth, it's still a scoreless ball game.
This is Sandy Koufax with Jim Simpson and Len Dillon here in Cincinnati's Riverfront Stadium at the 41st All-Star Game. At the end of four and a half innings, the score is still tied. The American League, nothing, and the National League, nothing.
And Sandy, now they're beginning to make their moves. Jerry Moses of Boston has replaced Bill Freehand as the catcher. Tony Oliva has gone to right field. Frank Robinson, a lot of folks thought that he might not even play tonight with that sore shoulder, has moved from right field over to left field. And Brooks Robinson has gone in to play third base. So Moses the catcher, McDowell still the pitcher, Lou Collett first, Davey Johnson at second, Luis Aparicio at short, Brooks Robinson at third, Frank Robinson in left, Carter Sumpke remains in center, Tony Oliva in right. And John Bench, who just gunned down Tommy Harper, who has 28 stolen bases this year and 73 last year, is the batter. Bench, last time up, struck out in the second inning. Scoreless ball game on a hot, muggy, but wonderful night at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio. The 41st Major League All-Star Game, the National Leaguers have won it 7 in a row, and it's scoreless now. McDowell throws her ball, and it's ball one.
Tim, I think the American League found out last inning what everybody in the National League already knows, that Johnny Bench might have the best arm of any catcher in baseball. He has the best I've ever seen.
McDowell is high and inside. To Bench, it's 2-0. Don Kessinger remains on deck. Davey Johnson is off what would be the skin of the infield. Bench is way out in front. Swinging, and it's 2-1. Johnson is back past the skin of the infield, whereas Aparicio, who's on the left side, where Bench might be able to pull the ball, is in on what would be the skin of the infield. He pulls this one deep, but it's very foul. No question. Way out in front of the pitch and pulled it deep into the upper seats.
Jim, I think Aparicio has to play a little shallower than some of the other infielders. Louis' arm has gone back a little bit on him with time. He doesn't throw as well as he used to. And if he played too deep, he could not throw some fellows out. There's better runners on balls hit deep in the hole.
Bench strikes out swinging on a McDowell fastball in the outside corner. Second time he's gone down. First time against Palmer, this time against the left-hander Sam McDowell. McDowell has his second strikeout, and that brings up Don Kessinger of the Chicago Cubs playing shortstop, and he singled up the middle his only other time at bat for his first All-Star hit in six appearances at the plate. There have been five National League strikeouts. Perez has struck out twice, and Bench's teammate with Cincinnati has also struck out twice. Dallas pitches low and away from Kessinger, ball one. Kessinger, a 281 hitter with the Chicago Cubs. McDowell is ready again. Drive, and Kessinger's got a second base hit right up the middle. Line drive on one hop to Yastrzemski in short center field. Well, the scoreboard shows the National League has two hits. Don Kessinger has them both. Here's Glenn Becker, second baseman with the Cubs, hitting at 261, which is much below Glenn's normal average in the National League. The last 4 years, he's been hitting 287, 280, 294, and last year, 291. As we said, very tough to strike out. Very close stance. His right foot is almost out of the batter's box. Strike at the knees for McDowell.
Tim, with one out and Leo DeRozier coaching at third, and both Kessinger and Beckert of the Cubs, so all year they work so well with the hit and run, it wouldn't be too surprising to see that come up here in this situation.
Strike. It's strike two. Both of them called, both of them at the knees, and Kessinger on first base is telling Leo DeRozier to move down a little bit because looking past McDowell, he can't see him. And so now DeRozier is leaning down so that Kessinger can see his signs looking across the diamond to his manager with the Cubs, and tonight the third base coach, Leo DeRozier. Two strikes to Becker. Kessinger leads off. McDowell throws. Ball right back up the middle. Picked up at second base by Johnson. He has no play at first base because as he stepped on second, the ball nearly squirted out of his glove. So he settles for the fourth play. They're two down. And we're going to have another pinch hitter. And as he comes out of the dugout, it looks like Dennis Menke of the Atlanta Braves. Menke having a great year, hitting at 315. And when they compared what the ball players wanted on the All-Star teams, how their votes would have gone, as opposed to how the fans went, the ball players said Dennis Menke was their number one choice at shortstop. But the fans, they said Don Kessinger. Both good men. Menke, of course, batting for Merritt, who is all through. We'll give you his record in a moment. Inside and low on the first pitch to Menke. Mayer only worked two innings, struck out one, gave up one hit, walked nobody. And, of course, this is a scoreless game. Menke fouls the ball off and bounds into the American League dugout. And now bounces back out, and Leo DeRocha retrieves it. Two out with Beckett on at first base, reaching down the fourth play. No runs, two hits, no errors for the American League. No runs, two hits, no errors for the National League. We are in the last of the fifth at Cincinnati. Lowered in the dirt and blocked nicely by the new catcher, Jerry Moses of the Boston Red Sox, who took over after Bill Freehand caught the first four innings. McDowell working his second inning. Jim Palmer started, worked three without damage. For the American League, Tom Seaver most effective in the three innings he worked as a starter for the National League. Back with a high pitch is McDowell, and it's 3-1 to the pinch hitter, Dennis Menke, hitting at 315. There has not been an extra base hit. There has not been a run scored. Becker just a step or two now off first base. Powell holding on, and McDowell peering in for the sign of Jerry Moses. And the 3-1 pitch, it's up high, and there's the walk given up by McDowell. Here's first. And the second drawn by the National League as Beckett moves on down to second base. And Willie Mays comes to bat.
I think if Sam McDowell makes any mistakes, that's the kind of mistakes he makes. With his great stuff, sometimes he'll get behind hitters. And there he was 3-1 to Dennis Menke. He didn't want to just come in with the fastball and let Menke hit it. So he tried to throw the curveball. He does not get that over as well. And he walked Menke. And all of a sudden, you're in a little bit of trouble. In fact, you are in trouble anytime Willie Mays comes to the plate.
High pitch. And that is not Jerry Moses behind the plate. That is Ray Fossey. We beg your pardon. Fossey of Cleveland, a young catcher. McDowell looking down, 1-0. Back to throw again. Very high again. 2-0. With two out. Beckett on at second base. Menke on at first base. Strike. Good fastball. Chest high to Willie Mays. It's 2-1. Now, this is the second time that the National League has had a man as far as second base. In the same combination, a walk and a single in the second, a single and a walk here in the fifth. But nobody's gotten any further than that. Up high with the fastball again, and it's 3-1. And remember, it was on a 3-1 pitch that Menke, as Sandy told you, tried the curveball. McDowell did, and Menke drew the walk. Now with two out, and Mays has struck out and fouled out the batter. Right-hander against the left-hander McDowell. Let's see what he throws. He comes back with a fastball, and Mays takes a big swing and a big miss. He did not come back with the curve that time, Sandy, on 3-1.
Well, I don't think he can afford to walk another hitter now. You get yourself into enough trouble when you walk the man into scoring position, and now with Mays at the plate, I don't think he can go any further. He just threw his best pitch, which was the fastball.
Dive high in the air as everybody was running on the pitch. It's foul behind the plate. Fossey is back and looking up, but it's well in the seats and about 30 or 40 feet away from President Nixon. Now the count remains 3-2 to Willie Mays. McDowell is ready, looking in. The runners are going again, and again it's fouled back. Naturally, with two out and 3-2, those runners are going to be taking off with every pitch.
Hey, it's an interesting duel right now. McDowell is just reaching back 3-2 and throwing the ball as hard as he can. The fellow at the plate, Willie Mays, is just standing there, and he's digging in with both feet and swinging as hard as he can. And as hard as Sam's throwing and Willie's swinging, if he makes contact, he's going to hit the ball. He's in the second deck here.
Mays digging in again on 3-2, two out. Beckett moving away from second. Menke away from first. McDowell into the stretch. They're running. Here's the pitch, and it's fouled back again. And we'll repeat. It is a very hot and humid night. McDowell is working hard, Mays is working hard, and Beckert and Menke are running hard. Last of the fifth, no score in the 41st Major League All-Star Game. The National League has won 22, the American League 17 has been one tie, the National League has won the last seven in a row. Drive high in the air, but this might be playable. Behind home plate overcomes the third baseman, Brooks Robinson, and he finally puts it away. No runs, one hit, no errors, and two men left. At the end of five, there's no score.
It's Sandy Koufax along with Jim Simpson and Len Dillon at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. The end of five innings, the score nothing-nothing. For the American League, no runs on two hits and no errors. The National League, identical totals. No runs, two hits, and no errors.
Gaylord Perry has come on the pitch. Dennis Menke, who batted for the pitcher and walked, has gone in to play second base. Beckert is out. They have not made announcements. As you know, this is a brand new Riverfront Stadium, and the PA system is not here, and we're having to pick up these newcomers as quickly as possible. It looks like Clarence Gaston has gone into play in center field. First pick by Fossey is hit to right field for a base hit. Rose is over, picks it up, and throws into Menke at second base and cuts it off. So young Ray Fossey of the Cleveland Indians drills a single to right field. Sam McDowell of Cleveland will bat for himself. Gaylord Perry this year has won 13 ball games, lost 8. Throws low, but it's at the knees to the giant Sam McDowell, strike one.
Sure, I have to think that this is one of the few All-Star games that I've seen Willie Mays start that he hasn't gone all the way. Usually Willie comes to this ball game, wants to play the full ball game, enjoys playing in it, and this is one of the few years where he hasn't.
McDowell squared as if to bunt. Foul tipped the ball, and the ball got past bench and rolled back, and so Bollock hands him a new ball, and it's two strikes to McDowell, and McDowell stares down to Lefty Phillips to see what the third base coach, manager of the California Angels, says to do on the two-strike pitch. With Fossey at first base. None out, scoreless ball game. We're in the top of the sixth. McDowell strikes out, but the ball is foul tipped and Bench drops it, and therefore he's alive again. Johnny Bench, who has thrown out a runner, Tommy Harper could not hold on to that swinging strike three. Was slightly foul tipped by McDowell. In field, a double play depth with two strikes on Sam McDowell. Fossey leading off at first base. McDowell squared around as if to bunt, but the pitch was outside, and it's one and two. Even with two strikes, he was going to bunt. The flag in right center field, it was blowing. Remember we told you from center toward right? It's simply hanging there now on this hot and muggy night. But no chance of rain, and thus far, a scoreless All-Star game. McDowell's going to bunt again at fair, picked up by Perry, who will go to first to sacrifice Wirtz. And for the first time, the American League has somebody as far as second base.
Here's a fine bunt by McDowell, and Earl Weaver obviously feeling that this is going to be a one-run ball game is trying right here in the top of the sixth inning to get that one run, and bunting with a pitcher with two strikes, he's got a man in scoring position in the top of his lineup coming up.
Well, Fossey's down at second base, and Luis Aparicio making his first start and his first appearance since 1963. The All-Star game, Luis is 36 years old, but having a great year hitting 313, right-hander steps in to face Perry. Curveball that he swings and misses. Strike one. Fossey's base hit to right field was a line shot off Perry, and now Perry wants to check on his sign for Johnny Bench. He walks out to meet him halfway.
I think Perry and Bench would like to just check on what signs they're using with a man at second base. Little problem here. If you make a mistake in signs, it ends up in a passed ball or a wild pitch, and the runner goes to third. And with less than two out, that's a big difference in your situation in the ball game.
Gaylord Perry of San Francisco peers in, looks back, and throws. The ball is hit to right center field. Over goes Pete Rose. Now slowing down, stops there. Fossey has to retreat to second base as Rose throws to the cutoff man, Menke. They're now two down, and Fossey is still at second, with Carl Yastrzemski due up. Yastrzemski singled up the middle and then hit the first pitch he saw in the fourth inning from Jim Merritt and drove Willie Mays deep right next to the 404 sign in center field. And with that in mind, Johnny Bench walks out to tell something else to Gaylord Perry.
I think in this situation here, you may not see the intentional pass. Gaylord Perry, having been around a few years, there's still something that players would sometimes like to call pitching around the hitter. Frank Robinson is nobody that you'd want to pitch to, but he's right-handed, and Gaylord Perry being a right-hander, he might rather pitch to Robinson than Yastrzemski.
Well, as Gaylord Perry tries to get out of this inning without a run, his brother, Jim Perry, now goes to the American League bullpen to warm up. Two out in the sixth inning. No score. Yastrzemski drills one into short center field. Around third base comes Fossey. The ball is picked up. They'll have to go to second. Yastrzemski fell down, and it's 1-0 the American League. Yastrzemski again hitting the first pitch.
Jim Yastrzemski was jammed by that pitch. He didn't hit it hard. He hit it hard enough to get it over the infield into center field for base hit and drove in the only run. And I'm not sure that Gaylord Perry hadn't tried to make the ball bad, but Yastrzemski hit it anyway.
1-0. The American League draws the first score. In the sixth inning, with two outs, Yastrzemski again hitting the first pitch. And here is Frank Robinson, who's been down twice on strikeouts, once swinging in the first and called out in the fourth. And a check at first base. And very nearly, Yastrzemski, who's a good base runner, and he has stolen 16 bases this year, was nearly picked off. Perry ready to throw, throws a curveball. Now Bench goes down to first and nearly has him again. Johnny Bench is showing us that arm that has made him the National League All-Star catcher. And some say one of the greatest, if not the greatest, ever. And he's 22 years old. Perry throws again, ground ball. At second base, Menke went for it. Easy throw to first base, but the American League scored. One run on two hits, no errors and one left. In the middle of the sixth, we have a score. The American League 1, the National League nothing.
The score at the end of 5.5 is the American League 1 run, 4 hits and no errors. The National League no runs, 2 hits, no errors. Jim?
Another change, and as we said, there are going to be lots of them. We'll pick them up as fast as we can. Willie Horton of Detroit has moved in to play left field. Mike Robinson is out. Yastrzemski remains in center. Oliva, of course, is over and right. Dick Allen, who has flied deep to right and lined to the second baseman, the batter, the Cardinal, first baseman. McDowell, who could win this, throws, and Allen fouls it off to the left. McDowell came in the fourth inning. This is the last inning he can work. And knowing that, he can leave leading, but he also knows that he must face Allen, Rose, and Perez. And that's a tough way to go. One strike, back again with the fastball. Outside, it's 1-1. To Allen. In his fourth All-Star game, 25 home runs this year, 72 RBIs, leading the Cardinals. McDowell, like everybody else before him and many of the spectators here, simply bathed with perspiration. Comes back again and throws with his fastball up high. You know, they say those who are in first place at All-Star break are going to win it all. Cincinnati leads in the Western Division of the National League by 10, Pittsburgh by a game and a half in the Eastern Division over New York. The American League, Baltimore by 6 over Detroit in the East, Minnesota by 5 over California in the West. Allen fouls one down the line. Brooks Robinson gives chase, also is Willie Horton over there, and they watch it drop at the seats about 15 rows deep. It's 2-2 to Allen. Of course, tomorrow's an off day as these players go back either to home or to join their teams on the road. And the Major League continues with the second half of the season in the drive for the division pennants, the league championships, and the World Series on Thursday. One run, four hits, no errors for the American League. No runs, two hits, no errors for the National. 2-2 to Allen. McDowell throws fastball, but it's too high, and it's 3-2. McDowell walked the man. Palmer, the starter for the American League, walked the man. McDowell struck out 2, giving up a hit. Palmer struck out 3, gave up a hit. Sam is ready and comes back and throws and misses outside. It's ball 4. And Allen walks with Pete Rose, two-time National League batting champion, member of the Cincinnati Reds, switch hitter coming to bat.
Pete
again have a situation here where Sam walked the leadoff hitter in the inning, and especially with only a one-run lead, that can get you in trouble. A good ball club can score a run just by playing the game the right way. They don't even have to get a base hit once that leadoff man gets on. If they get him over to second, a ground ball, a fly ball, and they score runs.
McDowell is high, and he trips a little bit on the mound with his first pitch, and it's ball one to Rose. He's hitting .323. And here at this brand new Riverfront Stadium, is hitting well over .400 in the few games he's played here. He loves it. This is not only a National League town, it's a Cincinnati town, and the Cincinnati player, Rose, is at bat. McDowell is ready, throws 1-0, drive foul down the right field line, deep in the seats.
As we said earlier, I think Pete would really love this new ballpark. He doesn't have great power. He doesn't hit a lot of home runs. He's a spray hitter. And in a ballpark like this, with the big outfield expanses and the artificial surface, all the outfielders have to play a little deeper. So Pete's going to have a lot more chance to drop balls in front of the outfielders and between them.
McDowell stares over at Allen at first base. The scoreboard has been saying charge and go, go, go. The American League leads by a run. McDowell throws a fastball. It's too low, but he really had something on that one, and it's 2-1.
Yeah, I think any time Sam throws a fastball, he's really throwing well. He's got just a great fastball, and he uses it well. His only problem is control, and sometimes he gets himself in trouble.
2-1, McDowell staring in. We're in the last of the sixth. The National League has won the last seven in a row, but they trail in this one 1-0. Rose swings and misses. It's 2-2. Three members of the All-Star infield are Baltimore Orioles. Boob Powell at first, Davey Johnson at second, and Brooks Robinson at third. The fourth member is Luis Aparicio at shortstop. Ray Fossey of Cleveland, the catcher. Sam McDowell of Cleveland, the pitcher. Woody Horton of Detroit. In left, Carl Ostrzemski of Boston in center. And in right field, Tony Oliva of Minnesota. 2-2, none out. Allen at first base. McDowell taking a long time now between pitchers. Last inning he can pitch, comes back with a breaking pitch and misses. And it goes all the way again, 3-2. Dave McNally of Baltimore has now joined Jim Perry in the bullpen for the American League.
I think we have the situation again where 3-2 is not an even count. The pitcher is behind. He must get the ball over. No pitcher likes to keep going to 3-2.
The throw, low, and he has drawn the walk. He took a half swing, and Charlie Hustle naturally runs to first base. And out comes Earl Weaver. Earl Weaver has said that he wants to win this game, and he's walking up very quickly. And McDowell, after walking the first two men, both on 3-2 counts, may be through.
Jim, I don't know, but I would think that in this situation, McDowell is the man I'd have to see pitch to Perez. Perez is a fine off-speed hitter. He hits the breaking ball. He hits the off-speed pitchers very well. If he has any trouble, I think it's up with the fastball that the pitcher gets in on him. And of the three pitchers that the American League has available now and warming up, I'd have to think that the one on the mound right now has got the best fastball. He'd have to pitch to Perez for me.
Well, apparently for Earl Weaver also, as Weaver runs back to the dugout and McDowell stays on. He went to 3-2 on both Allen and Rose and walked them both. And now Tony Perez, who has struck out twice swinging. Hit a home run that won the 67 game. And next inning, hit the drive foul down the right field line and hit it hard. Perez looks down to DeRocher, who gives him the signs at third base. McNally and Perry continue to warm in the American League bullpen. 51,000 plus here, along with the President of the United States and his family. McDowell throws low and away. And it's 1-1 to Tony Perez, who has 29 home runs and 90 RBIs, and is hitting .356.
Jim, and I don't think that would make a bit of difference if this were a regular season game. His manager would have to have him bunting. He's down by one. He's got to stay out of the double play. But here in an All-Star game, the people want to see Perez hit. The manager, Gil Hodges, has got to let him hit.
1-1 count, hits it high in the air and in the infield. Johnson backs up, waves everybody away, makes no mistake about that, trails the ball, and now gloves it. And Brooks Robinson runs all the way to second base, hoping to get Allen off second base after the catch. One down, and Jim Hickman of Chicago up for the first time. Hickman hitting .335, 5 years with the Mets. one of the original Mets, and over September of last year, and the early part of this year, Hickman has been Mr. It for the Chicago Cubs, despite the fact that Billy Williams is having one of his greatest years ever. But Gil Hodges said when it came down to the two, Hickman's been the man that makes him go. Fosse blocks a pitch that's in the dirt for McDowell. Ball one to Hickman. Hickman, who is 33 years old, is playing in his first All-Star game. And over the last 15 games of the regular National League season, has been hitting at a 367 clip. Want to know the count to him? 1-0 to score. The American League. McDowell ready to throw and strike. Right on the inside corner. 1-1. Allen, who drew a walk, is on second. Rose, who drew a walk, is on at first. McDowell taking his time. Perry and Settlemyer, or rather Perry now and McNally, continue to throw. And Dick Dietz and Bill Grabarkiewicz begin to warm up a little bit for the National League. They are not pitchers. Hickman fooled on a pitch, swings, and it's 1-2. The American League looking for the double play. Allen leads off at second. Rose takes a few more steps off first. McDowell back to throw. Fly ball to short right field. Davey Johnson again goes out and waves everybody away. Taps his glove and he's made the last 2 foot out. Allen retreats to second. Rose back to first. And Johnny Bench for that.
Both those last two outs show you what the good fastball can do for you. Sam got in trouble. He got himself in trouble. And McDowell just reached back, threw a little harder through good fastballs to the next two hitters and got them both to pop it up to the second baseman. Neither Perez nor Hickman could hold the ball. Couldn't keep from hitting the ball on the fifth.
Johnny Bench has struck out swinging twice. The last time, it was McDowell who got it. Sam now trying to pitch out of a jam and protect the 1-0 American League lead. We're in the last of the sixth inning of a low-scoring All-Star game. First pitch from McDowell is outside, ball one. Now, Tony Perez has struck out twice and popped up. Johnny Bench has struck out twice, but he's also gunned down Tommy Harper trying to steal, but the Cincinnati fans would dearly love to see Bench come up with a clutch hit here and at least tie the game. Remember, he has 28 home runs and 79 RBIs. McDowell throws it an off-speed pitch. He swings and misses. Strike one. 1-1 to Bench.
Jim, Sam McDowell is very successful when he uses the change and when he gets it over. And as we said earlier, sometimes he's tempted to use it a little too much. It's only good because of how good his fastball is. And I think if Sam goes to it too often, then he gets a little in trouble.
Swings and misses at a fastball this time. It's 1-2. Then swinging hard. The Cincinnati players love to go for the fences, and you can tell it by the number of home runs they've hit. Perez, for example, 29, Bench, 28. 51,838 looking on at the new Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. 1-2 to count. McDowell throws, change, and has him swinging. Bench is struck out for the third time. The first two men get on, but then McDowell gets two on pop-ups to the second baseman and strikes out the dangerous Johnny Bench. At the end of six, the American League won, the National League nothing. That counts. We pause 30 seconds for station identification. Hello again from Cincinnati, Ohio, the brand new Riverfront Stadium. We've had quite a few changes, and we'll give them to you in a moment. The American League, one run on four hits, no errors. The National League, no runs, just two hits and no errors as we move to the top of the seventh. Boog Powell will be the batter. But Dick Dietz of San Francisco is in to catch, replacing Johnny Bench, who struck out three times. Bill Grabarkiewicz of the Dodgers replaces another Cincinnati Red, Tony Perez, at third base. Bud Harrelson, making his first appearance also as an All-Star, as are Dietz and Grabarkiewicz, goes in at shortstop. So it is Allen at first base, Menke at second, Harrelson of the Mets at short, Grabarkiewicz of the Dodgers at third, Dietz behind the plate, Perry still the pitcher, Hickman in left, Gaston in center, Rose in right. Al swings and fouls the first one in the dirt at the plate, strike one. Boog popped out to Perez back in the first and fly to short center in the fourth. Up for the third time. Leads the American League in RBIs with 73, 320 batting average, and 23 home runs. big pitch way outside and then dropped by Dick Dietz. Dietz was given a $90,000 bonus from the Giants. This is his fourth full season with San Francisco. Last year he hit .230, but is having a great year this year. And his fourth in the National League in RBIs, making his first All-Star appearance. 1-1. Hit high and foul. Dietz comes back for it, but looks like it'll make the seats and make it by plenty, which it does. It's 1-2 to Boog Powell. Only a right-hander is going now, and it is Jim Perry, the brother of Gaylord Perry, down in the American League bullpen, and a fellow by the name of Gibson, first name Bob of St. Louis, warms up in the National League bullpen. 1-2 on a steamy, steamy night, but an exciting night in Cincinnati. They're proud of the new stadium, and they're proud to have the All-Star game here. And what a setting for it. Perry, taking a long time, is now set to throw with a 1-2 count to Powell. Swings, grounds it right back to Gaylord, who takes his time, lets Powell run a little bit, and then tosses over to Allen for the first out of the seventh. For the first time is Brooks Robinson, who went in to play defense, replacing Killebrew. Robinson, of course, has been in many All-Star games before. Third baseman, Golden Glove winner, many times over with the Baltimore Orioles. Been in 13 All-Star games before. And lines the ball over the head of Menke into short right center field. Brooks Robinson has a base hit. Gaston throws it in on one hop, and it bounces up and hits Menke in the face. Dennis Menke, on that hop off that artificial turf, is hit in the face on the relay throw from Gaston. Harrelson is over, and the Turner goes out, and Gil Hodges now goes out along with Leo DeRocher.
Jim, I think that's the thing that the players worry about. The ball is so quick off the artificial surface. Gaston picked up the ball and made the throw in it, and threw it in on one hop. Normally, the ball would sort of slow up a little bit, but this hit on that artificial surface and just skipped on Menke. He didn't have a chance. It hit him right in the mouth, it looked like, and Trainer's out there now looking at Dennis, and he just can only hope that he isn't hurt too seriously. He would think would be more used to it than anybody else playing for Houston, where they have the AstroTurf all the time, but there's a limit to how fast your reactions can go and how quickly you can get your glove up in front of a ball.
Menke says he'll stay in. Roy White of the New York Yankees was hurt earlier this evening, has not made an appearance. And we don't know whether or not Roy will be able to. He was having his picture taken, a line drive, took one hop and hit him on the underside of his right arm. Well, there's only one man in Major League history that has won batting titles his first two years in the Major Leagues. His name is Tony Oliva, and he's at bat now, hitting at .282. Left-handed swinger from the Minnesota Twins to face Perry with Brooks Robinson down at first base. 1-0, the American League. Gaylord Perry is ready and throws outside. Perry now working with the battery mate of his, Dick Dietz. 1 run, 5 hits, no errors for the American League. No runs, just 2 hits, no errors for the National League, which has won the last 7 All-Star games in a row. Oliva steps back in now. Tony can go with the pitch to all fields and with power. Lean toward an outside pitch, but let it go outside for a 2-0 count. Tony came up in 1964, won the batting title as a rookie. Then won it again in 65, and since then has been second twice and third once, despite some injuries. Perry throws again off the corner to Oliva, and Gaylord is down 3-0. The American League hasn't been gifted with the base on balls yet. And on 3-0, Oliva has looked down to his coach, manager Lefty Phillips of California, third base, and is ready, and he is simply taking all the way, and it's strike one. Now a 3-1 and one out, and Brooks Robinson, who does not have great speed on at first base. Oliva takes time to step out to look down at Lefty Phillips. Tony is back in, and Gaylord has stared him. In the stretch and throws, and on 3-1, he is way outside, and there's the first walk given up by the National League, and Robinson moves down to second base. Bob Gibson continues to warm up. Terry has given up 3 hits and the only run of the ball game and struck out no one, and now he's given up his first walk. And Davey Johnson is starting because Rod Carew of Minnesota, who was voted as the All-Star second baseman, is injured, is up. Davey has flied to right and fouled out to the second baseman. Ball outside from Terry, and Gaylord kicks up dust at the mound. He didn't think it was a ball. 1-0. Robinson on at second, Oliva on at first, the American League 1, the National League nothing. We're in the seventh inning. Terry ready to throw again. Sidearm pitch this time, and he has missed again just off the corner and stares in at Al Barley.
Sure, I don't think Gaylord Perry is too happy about the call on those pitches, but there's always a tendency on all pitchers when you're in trouble to want everything, and a pitch that you'd want when you're in trouble, you just sort of ignore if it was called a ball with nobody on.
2-0 right down the middle, and it's 2-1. The National League fans here, and they keep waiting for the National League to explode. Thus far, there's only been one run scored, and the American League did that. Terry ready and throws again and has another call strike. 2-2. Two that have just missed, and two, this last one, Davey Johnson turned and questioned the umpire that it was a strike. Only run of the ball game, driven in by Carl Yastrzemski, who singled for his second hit of the night. He has also sent the center fielder very deep to the wall. Next pitch by Perry misses, and it's all the way on Davey Johnson, 3-2 with one out. See whether they're running or hanging close on 3-2 with just one out. Ralph Houck walks over and says something to Oliva at first base. Houck, the coach at first. They're staring back. They are not running on the pitch. Unintentionally fouled by Johnson. Call it still 3-2. Nobody now throwing for the American League. Although we are going to get a change because McDowell has worked his 3 innings while Gibson continues to throw for the National League. 3-2 pitch again. Down the middle. Short right field, overcomes Pete Rose, loses his hat near the line, it's foul ball in the bullpen. Dennis Menke also back in. Brooks Robinson very nearly home. And Davey Johnson almost to second base.
Tim Davey does not strike out a lot, but even so, Brooks is not a good base runner. He's a good base runner, he doesn't have great speed, and it's awfully difficult to turn him loose. In case Davey does take a third strike or a swing and miss, Brooks wouldn't have much chance of beating a play at third.
3-2 again, one out. Perry throws right up the middle, and it's knocked down by Harrelson, picked up by Menke, can't get it, everybody's safe. Well, Harrelson saved the run. Bases are loaded.
So that's the play for infielders they must make with a man on second. A lot of times, the fellow will dive and knock a ball down. He knows he can't throw anybody out, but he has to keep it from going through into the outfield. But Harrelson made a fine play just knocking the ball down. They almost made a good enough play to get Oliva at second out of it.
One run, 6 hits, no errors for the American League, and they're threatening again with one out. No runs, 2 hits, no errors for the National League. And here is Fosse, who singled and scored the only run, and he is completely drenched, the catcher from the Cleveland Indians. Bases loaded. Ball outside. Joe Horner of the Phillies, former Cardinal great, has joined his former teammate Gibson. Horner's a left-hander and begins to throw. Bases loaded with one out. The National League infield looking for the double play to get out of the inning. Bossy, I want to tell you, he is completely drenched. Perry ready, throws. This is the corner. It's 2-0.
I think, again, Gaylord not very happy with that call, Jim, but I think everybody in the ballpark may disagree with Al Barlick, but he's got the best look at it, and after 30 years of being a professional umpire and a great one, I think he's probably right.
Very ready again, trying to come in with a pitch, but something that Fosse can't hit. Drills one to center field. Back goes Gaston, looking up and backhands the ball. Robinson tags at third. Oliva goes on to third base, and it's 2-0, the National League. trails the American League as Fossey, who has scored a run, is having quite a debut in an all-star game. Scored a run and has now driven in one with a fly to deep center field.
Jim, it's kind of nice to see. We talked about the difference in who the players selected and who the fans selected as the all-star team. And I think Fossey was, again, one of the discrepancies. Most of the players felt that Fossey should have started this game. He's hitting almost 100 points higher than Bill Freehand. And since he's come into the ballgame, he's had a fine night.
Well, Alex Johnson, who also used to play for the Reds, now with the California Angels, steps in the bat for McDowell, who's all through. Perry comes in with a curveball and misses his ball one. Johnson having a great year, hitting at 328. Been around with the Phillies and the Cards and Cincinnati, and now with California. Came over in the trade that sent Jim McLaughlin here to Cincinnati. Perry back again with a breaking pitch. It's fouled off the end of the bat. It's 1-1 to Johnson. Davey Johnson is on at first base. Alex Johnson is the batter. While over at third base is Tony Oliva. One pitch, a curveball to the second baseman, Harrelson, over to second base, or rather the shortstop, Harrelson, over to second base, Menke for the force out, and they're out of it, but the American League has scored another run. One run on two hits, no errors, and two left. We go to the bottom of the seventh, with the American League leading the National League 2-0.
Earl Weaver making all his defensive moves now. Amos Otis is actually the only real center fielder on the American League squad. And Carl Yastrzemski, who's just recently moved to first, has been playing it like he's played it all his life. Both Boston and Carl are very happy with the way that experiment has worked out.
Strike one pitch from Jim Perry, who's come in. He misses. It's 1-1. Yastrzemski, as Sandy said, has been at first base in recent weeks. Jim Perry comes in to try to save the victory for Sam McDowell over his brother Gaylord Perry, who stands to lose and has given up both runs. 2-1 now to Bud Harrelson, who saved a run with a fine diving stop from a shortstop position at second base in the top of this inning. Harrelson in his first All-Star game, and the ball dived for by Yastrzemski. At first, he can't come up with it. And Harrelson, in his first time at bat, in his first All-Star game, singles to right field. And so Jim Perry has given up the third hit. Harrelson was hitting 266. Clarence Gaston, up for the first time, is hitting 326. Gaston, the San Diego Padres, what a story he's got, because he was the 30th and last player to be picked by the Padres in their draft to get a team last year, and here he is in the All-Star game. Breaking pitch from Jim Perry stays high. It's ball one. Harrelson, a fine base runner, on at first base, but the score is 2-0. The American League, the National League, trails in the last of the seventh. Perry, right-hander like his brother, throws again a breaking pitch. Foul to the screen. It's 1-1. Looking down into the presidential box area, president sitting there with his coat on, and no matter what weight coat it is, I am sure he is quite warm. Temperature's still in the 80s. 1-1, and a breaking pitch is swung on and missed by Gaston. Strike two. Still in the 80s, although where we are in the eastern time zone of the United States, on daylight time, it's about 11 minutes after 10 o'clock at night. Very ready for the 1-2 pitch. Harrelson on at first base. Harrelson blesses it to go. Fastball is inside and rather high. It's 2-2. Well, the man of the hour is the man who was not picked as the number one catcher. Fossey, who in his first time up, singled and scored later on Yastrzemski's single in the sixth, and then with a sacrifice line drive to deep center, scored Brooks Robinson in the seventh. 2-2 to Gaston. Outside, it is 3-2. With Harrelson on at first and none out in the last of the seventh. Earl Weaver striding back and forth in the American League dugout and looking to someone, and he may get that bullpen busy again. two runs against this National League All-Star lineup is not much. Looks like McNally is getting up to throw again. Either he or Fritz Peterson of New York. Looks now like it's Peterson of New York. Check at first base where Yastrzemski is. Harrelson is back in time. 3-2 to Gaston. Inside, and Gaston draws the walk, and Harrelson goes to second. Catfish Hunter, in the unmistakable green and gold of Oakland, a right-hander, has joined Peterson, the left-hander of New York. Dennis Menke, who walked his last time up and also took a short hop throw from Gaston that hit him in the face, is the man up. And out on deck is Stretch, Willie McCovey, bothered with a pulled muscle in his leg, but available for pinch hitting duties. And of course, a home run hitter in last year's All-Star game. The San Francisco Giants' big first baseman. Had a couple of them last year. Menke squares as if to bunt, takes a strike. Harrelson down at second base. Gaston on at first. 2-0 the score. Last of the seventh. Jim Perry looking back at Harrelson, who's on at second base. Gaston not being held, of course, by Yastrzemski at first, with no place to go. Second base occupied. Perry throws, swing, and fouled back by Menke. It's two strikes. Nobody out. Two runs, six hits, no errors for the American League. No run, three hits, no errors for the National League. But the National Leaguers are threatening. Perry peers in, looks back, throws high, and it hits him. Menke is hit by the pitch. What a tough night he's had. Hit in the face with the ball bouncing on a throw from Gaston, and is now hit by the pitch. The bases are loaded. Nobody's out. And the National League comes to life with Willie McCovey coming to bat.
It's an awfully tough night for Dennis Menke. There have been so many great players hurt in the All-Star game and possibly ruined their careers. And think about Ted Williams hurting his arm, running into a wall, and Dizzy Dean hurting his foot and then hurting his arm consequently after that. And it'd be a shame to have anything happen to any of these great players here tonight.
Willie McCovey hitting at 259, and the trainer again had to go out along with Hodges to see if Menke was all right. He says he is. The bases are loaded. McCovey hitting 259, but has 23 home runs and 66 RBIs. The San Francisco Giants' big first baseman facing Jim Perry. Swings and misses on the first pitch, and quickly Ray Fossey runs out to talk to his pitcher, Terry. Gaylord Terry gave up the two runs. The American League has it out. Jim Perry, with the bases loaded and none out, is trying not to give them back. Sam McDowell left the ball game with a 2-0 lead. One strike to McCovey. Perry back and a foul. Back to the screen. And another big swing by McCovey. Harrelson on a 30 single. Went to second when Gaston walked. Menke loaded the bases when he was hit by a pitch. For the last of the seventh. The National League, for that long, long streak of wins in the All-Star game, tries to come back. McCovey, a slow roller, charged by Aparicio, tags one man, throws on the first double play, and a run scores. Harrelson scores.
I think Menke was a little confused on that play and did not pick up the ball. If he had, would have known that he had to stop and make Aparicio come and get him. Dennis ran into the tag. I think he was trying to get to second base to break up a double play, thinking Aparicio was going to toss the ball to the second baseman. And Dennis knew that he had to break up the double play because of McCovey's bad leg. But instead, he just ran right into the tag by Aparicio, and it was an easy double play.
2-1 the score. Gaston, the tying run, is on at third base, but two are out now, and Allen, who is hitless on the night, swings at the first pitch and misses, strike one. Allen flies deep to right in the first inning, lined to the second baseman in the third, and walked on a 3-2 pitch in the sixth. Perry has given up one run now, comes back inside and low to Allen, and it's 1-1. Perry got in trouble, giving up A base hit to the first man he faced, Harrelson, walked Gaston, and again in trouble when his wildness forced him to hit Menke. Double play is allowed a run to score with Gaston on at third base. Allen swings and misses again. 1-2. Allen, like all of these home run hitters, are free swingers. And unlike the Beckerts, who hit few home runs, but seldom strike out. Terry Reddy on the 1-2 pitch and throws, and it's fouled upstairs. There are no screens or any kind of protection in front of the press box behind home plate. And the writers here had better stay pretty alert. That ball bounced in and out again. Terry ready to throw. 1-2. It's low and in the dirt. Picked up by Fossey. Oh, Fossey is going to lose a few pounds tonight. Catching as he is behind the plate. Completely wet. But I'm sure at the moment, completely happy. He has done quite a job. 2-2 now. Allen trying to get the tying run in. Jim Terry ready to throw and throws low and away. And we have a full count again. With Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose kneeling on deck. Terry stares in, has the sign, starts his motion. Throws again, he's called out on strikes. A fine pitch on the outside corner that Allen fooled, but he was not angry with Al Bolick's call. He simply walks away and drops the bat. One run on one hit, no errors, and one man left at the end of seven complete. The American League has a now 2-1 lead over the National.
This is Sandy Koufax with Jim Simpson and Len Dillon in Cincinnati's new Riverfront Stadium at the 41st All-Star Game. The end of seven innings, the American League holds a slim 2-1 lead over the National League. For the American League, it's two runs, six hits, no errors. For the National League, one run, three hits, and no errors. 51,838 people in the stands, plus one, the President of the United States. Jim, we have a few changes in the lineup.
Willie McCovey stays on to play first base, and Joe Morgan comes on to play second base. McCovey, the Giants, Morgan of the Houston Astros, and what a good thing this is for Joe. A few years ago, he was voted to the All-Star game, and then he fractured his kneecap and could not play. Well, because Mion of Atlanta could not play in this game, Morgan gets to play. He was voted in 1966 and could not play. Bob Gibson has come on to pitch, but now we have Dietz of San Francisco behind the plate, Gibson the pitcher, McCovey of San Francisco at first, Morgan of Houston at second, Harrelson of the Mets at short, Grabarkiewicz of the Dodgers at third, Hickman of the Cubs in left, Gaston of San Diego in center, and Pete Rose of Cincinnati in right, and the batter, Aparicio, he's been in there all the way, up for the fourth time without a hit, swings and fouls the ball down the third baseline. Bob Gibson, 12-4, just had a 10-game winning streak snapped in his last start. 11 complete games and 19 starts this year. He's pitched 153 innings and has struck out 156 men. He's in his fifth All-Star game, and he's the fourth pitcher. At the moment, Gaylord Perry stands to be the loser in this 2-1 ballgame. We are in the eighth inning. Aparicio, the leadoff batter for the American League batting order, leads it off in the eighth and swings at a pitch. It's 0-2 to Luis.
Gibson got off to a very slow start this year, and a lot of people started to write him off and say that the fastball was gone, but all of a sudden it turned around. He started to throw hard, and he looks like the same pitcher he's been for a lot of years, a great one.
1-2 in the last two pitches, Sandy, that he's given Aparicio have been breaking pitches. 1-2. Back again. Morgan gets his chance after coming in at second base and throws on to McCovey, who gets his first chance in the field and is one down. And I would imagine that Menke is seeking combat pay after tonight.
I think Dennis looked for a while like the fighter who's maybe taking a few too many punches. And I think Gil Hodges, the manager, kept going out, asking him if he could stay on his feet and he'd get a draw.
Out here is one great, Carl Yastrzemski, who back in 1967 faced another great, Bob Gibson, in that fine seven-game World Series between the Red Sox and Cardinals. Yastrzemski's had a great night tonight. Swings again on the first pitch and has his third hit. Rounds first base, rolls in right field, fires on to second. Well, Yastrzemski, in the first inning, singled on a 1-1 pitch. He drove Woody Mays deep to the wall on the first pitch he saw in the fourth. He caught it. He singled on the first pitch he saw in the sixth, and he singles on the first pitch he sees in the eighth. And Willie Horton is up for the first time.
I'd have to think that Carl Yastrzemski might be a first ball hitter. I know that Willie Horton is, and I'm sure that Bob Gibson probably knows that. They've gone over each opposing player in the clubhouse before the game, and probably a little careful with the first pitch here.
Willie Horton, hitting 304, takes the first pitch low. 16 home runs, 43 RBIs. Comes home with Yastrzemski on at first, one down on the top of the eighth. National League trails the American League, 2-1. Gibson ready and throwing, and Horton drills one to center field. It's going to drop in there in front of Gaston. Yastrzemski stops at second, and the American League is back in business. Second hit off Bob Gibson.
Jim, watching Gibby throw, he looked like he was throwing good, but not as hard as he can, and I think you're going to see what makes a fellow like Gibson a great pitcher. He's in trouble now, and all of a sudden the fastball could just get a little bit quicker.
Well, up for the first time is Amos Otis of Kansas City, right-handed batter, hits the first pitch to short right field. Rose is there. Yastrzemski is making his hit to tag. He's going to third base. Rose's throw comes there, and Yastrzemski's in ahead of the throw, going to third base. Staying on at first, of course, is Horton. They're two down with runners at first and third. Otis, who was up last time, Sane and I saw, hit into a triple play a couple of weeks ago on a ground ball. Now the batter is Brooks Robinson, who singled his first time up back in the seventh and later scored on Fosse's sacrifice fly to center. Gibson throws hard this time. Robinson drives Gaston back. Gaston on his horse. It'll be over his head, bounding against the wall. Yastrzemski scores. Horton is on his way around third base. He'll score. On the way to third is Brooks Robinson, and he's in with a triple. Robinson, two for two. It is 4-1, the American lead.
Given, I think all the players that hitting against Gibson have swung at the first pitch and hit the ball fairly well. You just wonder if possibly they haven't found out something, or maybe just Bob is just throwing a fastball. It's hard to tell from up here, but he's gotten hurt almost every time on the first pitch.
Well, he's given up three runs on three hits, including the first extra base hit of the night. Three hits and two runs, and the score is 4-1. Bob Gibson had that long winning streak of 10 just snapped in his last start, and the American League has jumped on him in a hurry tonight. Oliva swings on the first pitch and drills it high, but to short right field. Pete Rose simply walks it, now drops it, and takes it for the third out. But Gibson is touched up. Two runs score on three hits, no errors, and Robinson left at third base in the middle of the eighth inning. The American League 4, the National League 1.
The score at the end of 7.5, American League 4, National League 1.
Rose, the switch hitter, batting left against Perry, swings on the first pitch and fouls it off. Robinson is going over near the dugout, but it's going to be in the first row of seats as Robinson falls over the rolled-up tarpaulin over there, but is all right. The Markowitz of the Dodgers on deck, hoping to get up, and will get up for the first time in this ballgame. Time running out on the National League. Earl Weaver, manager of Baltimore and the American League All-Stars, said he's going to break that seven-game streak, and at the moment he's got a three-run lead with time running out in the last of the eighth. Carries ready, throws outside and low to Rose, and it's 1-1. He was up once before and walked back in the sixth inning. Jim Perry of Minnesota throws outside and high this time. It's 2-1 to Rose. Four runs on nine hits, no errors for the American League. One run, three hits, no errors on the National League. And the run that scored on a double play. Therefore, nobody gets the RBI. 2-1 pitch. Breaking pitch at the knees of Rose. It's 2-2, and Pete simply walks away from bombing.
Jim, I think, again, we see in this All-Star game the dominance that pitching has, especially when they know they only have to go three innings. With all these great hitters, we haven't had very many balls hit well. Even some of the base hits have been not hit well.
Rose strikes out swinging. Perry gets his second strikeout. Well, Cincinnati fans thus far have been disappointed. John Bench struck out three straight times. Tony Perez struck out twice and popped up. And Pete Rose has walked and struck out. Marito pitched fine. First pitch now to Grabarkiewicz, so the Dodgers up for the first time. It's ball one outside.
Yeah, I think we're also at the point in the ballgame where you have to look at the pinch hitting possibilities. The National League has no more left-handed pinch hitters left to come into the ballgame. Only Clemente and Joe Torre have not yet appeared.
The Barkowitz is hitting 340. Low and away. 2-1 now. The Billy in his first All-Star game. Fourth in the league in hitting. Terry Reddy again hits this one high to short left field. Horton was playing deep, still on the dead run. Now says he's got it and takes it, turning towards second base. And very close to the shortstop, Aparicio. So they're two down, and Hickman of the Cubs, as he said before, there's not much time left for the National League, and you can say that again as we've got one out to go in the eighth inning. Hunter goes back to warm up again for the American League, having a great year with Oakland. First pitch is high and away to Jim Hickman of Chicago. On deck with his shin guards on is Dick Deese. Four runs, nine hits, no errors for the American League. One run, three hits, no errors for the National in the last of the eighth. Terry is back and throws inside with a fastball and low, 2-0. Ray Fosse, Carl Yastrzemski, and Brooks Robinson have been the big guns for the American League. And their pitchers, Palmer, McDowell, who stands to win, and Perry have done quite well, giving up just three hits. Breaking pitch that's in there for a strike. It's 2-1 to Hickman. Hickman came on replacing Carty, who started in left field. 2-1 pitch from Jim Perry, and it's swinging strike. It's 2-2. Not very quiet because this has been the American League ball game so far. Drive is foul, up and off to the right, out of play. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Hickman, the right-hander, facing Perry, the right-handed pitcher. In his back end, strikes him out swinging. Nothing across at the end of eighth. The American League 4, the National League 1.
Nope.
Back in Cincinnati, Bob Gibson throws to the first batter, Davey Johnson, who is 1-for-3, swinging strike one. Along with Sandy Koufax and Len Dillon, this is Jim Simpson. Gibson is ready again, throws again, another swinging strike. It's 0-2 to Johnson. Johnson last time was robbed of an RBI when Harrelson at shortstop made a fine dive to stop his base hit from getting on through to the outfield. Gibson throws again, a breaking pitch, but it's up high, and it's 1-2. Davey fly to right is also fouled out. 4-1, the American League. We are in the top of the ninth inning. Drive foul upstairs, off to the right. Well, it'll drop in that big field section. They have four levels here. The Lowe's, the club level, the plaza level, and the field section. Johnson strikes out, reaching for an outside pitch. That's the first strikeout for Bob Gibson. Tom Seaver, who started for the National League, gave up one hit, struck out four in his three innings. Well, here is Fosse, who has singled and scored a run, and his line sacrifice fly to deep center field scored another. The Cleveland young catcher takes high from Bob Gibson. It's ball one. Fosse's only 23 years old, born and lives in Marion, Illinois. Jim Fregosi, who has not been in the ballgame yet, hitting 298. Shortstop for California, out and swinging a bat on deck. 2-0 the count to Fosse. Foul out of play to the right. Article not too long ago about how come Ray Fosse, who last year spent all the year, didn't catch too much for the Indians, and hit 172, is doing so well. Answer, I got married. 2-1, low it in the dirt. 3-1. And Bob Gibson definitely has not been the Bob Gibson we are used to seeing. And certainly not the Bob Gibson that rolled off that 10-game winning streak. They jumped on his first pitches in the eighth inning, picked up two runs on three hits, including a triple. And now Fossey also runs to first base, drawing the walk. Gibson has walked his first man.
Tim, Bob looks like he's having a little bit of trouble with his rhythm. He's throwing fairly well. It's not the overpowering stuff that he usually has, but he's not making his pitches. He's missing with the fastball. He's missing with the breaking ball. And he just doesn't look really too comfortable out on the mound tonight.
Jim Fregosi, hitting .298, has an eight-game hitting streak going for him in the regular season, over which time he's been hitting .484. He swings and misses at the first pitch. Right-handed batter, drafted out of the Boston organization by the Angels when they were getting started and has been with them ever since. One strike to him with Fossey at first base. Gibson throws, breaking pitch that's fouled off to the on-deck batter, who throws it back to Gibson. Well, Fossey, who came on in relief of freehand, as we said, has singled and scored a run, sacrifice fly, and now in his third time at bat in his first All-Star game has drawn a walk. Pitch is outside, and it's 1-2 to Jim Fregosi. 4-1, the American League, top of the ninth inning at the 41st All-Star game. Foul back upstairs. The American League trying to break that dominance of the National League over the last 7 years, and the National League has also won 11 of the last 13 and lead in overall games 22-17 with one a tie. The 1-2 pitch from Bob Gibson, big curve, very high, and it's 2-2. Gibson, a native of Omaha, Nebraska. Fossey not taking too big a lead. Willie McCovey, the Giants, is holding him on at first base. Gibson ready, and Fregosi pokes one out into left field. Back goes Hickman, back near the 375 mark, almost fell down, and now gets it as he goes into the wall, taking a look at Gaston, and Fossey has to run back to first.
Sure, I think that's one of the other problems in All-Star games, not being used to the fellow that's playing next year. The left fielder doesn't know the center fielder doesn't know the left fielder. Jim Hickman went back on that ball, looked for Gaston in center field, and almost fell down trying to get his footing again. And that's one of your problems.
Well, here is Aparicio, who is playing all the way for the American League, as has Carl Yastrzemski and Davey Johnson. One strike as he fouls the first one off. Two outs. Aparicio takes high. It's 1-1. Luis struck out in the first, grounded out in the third, flied out in the sixth, and grounded out again in the eighth. He's 0-4. Gibson back, and he swings and misses. It's 1-2. Throughout, Fossey still on at first base. Gibson ready to throw, and Aparicio tried to bunt his way on, but instead bunts it foul for a call strike, or for a strike three, so it's no runs, no hits, no errors, one left. The National League has one more chance to go to the last of the ninth, the American League leading by the score of 4-1.
The line score at the end of 8.5. The American League, 4 runs on 9 hits and no errors. The National League, 1 run, 3 hits, no errors. Jim?
Well, in the last couple of years, Jim Catfish Hunter of Oakland has won 13 games, and in the third year, he won 12. Already in 1970, he has won 13 ball games, and he's come in to save this one for Sam McDowell and the American League and to break that 7-game winning streak of the National League. He'll face first Dick Deese. Aparicio remains in, Davey Johnson remains in, Yastrzemski remains in, whereas Gil Hodges has taken out every one of his starters. Fritz Peterson of the Yankees is warming up just in case the right-hander, Hunter, gets in trouble. Deets in his first All-Star game, up for the first time, from the San Francisco Giants, the catcher, takes a strike from Hunter. Well, here's somebody across the bay from San Francisco. Hunter pitching to a man from across the bay, Deets from San Francisco. Now Stottlemyre. We've got two Yankees in the bullpen. Outside and low, it's 1-1. The Dick Deets. No Yankee has yet appeared, and we told you Roy White was also hit by a ball before the game in his arm and has not come back to play. It's 2-1 now as Hunter's next pitch is high. Harrelson is kneeling on deck. Hunter throws, ball is hit to center field. Back goes Amos Otis, back looking up at the wall, and Dick Deets has a home run.
That's the first home run here tonight. It's interesting to me. I wanted to see just how the ball carried in this ballpark, and it seems like it does carry pretty well. Dietz is not a great slugger, not known for hitting the long ball. He hit that ball all the way out in center field.
And Harrelson follows up, swinging on the first pitch and lines a single to left field. It's 4-2, the American League in the National League ninth inning. And here comes the National League, and here comes Earl Weaver quickly to the mound.
Jim, it's amazing just how quickly a ball game changes its complexion. It looked like there was no problem, three-run lead. All of a sudden, you look up, and on two pitches, the tying run is at the plate in the ball game. And it may be just a little bit of trouble here for the American League.
Gaston is on deck. He drew a walk. Weaver is talking along with Fossey, his catcher. Four runs, nine hits, no errors for the American League. The National League is not going quietly, however. Two runs, five hits, and no errors. Two of those hits and one of those runs, and this the last of the ninth inning.
I think getting the tying run to the plate has brought a little bit of action in the National League bullpen. Claude Osteen, the pitcher from the Los Angeles Dodgers, has gotten up the throw.
Gaston of San Diego, Texas, strike at the knees. That ball cleared just where it says 404 in straightaway center field. Dietz has 18 home runs on the year, and in his first All-Star bat, he gets a home run. Gaston goes around trying to check his swing. It's strike two. Joe Morgan of the Astros on deck. Breaking pitch, and it's popped up to the infield. Yastrzemski waving everybody off in front of Davey Johnson and takes it for the first out. Allison, of course, holds on.
Jimmy, talk about fellows who have had good nights here. So far, it's been in a losing cause, but Bud Harrelson of the Mets has only been upright, has gotten two hits, and done a fine job in the field. So there have been a lot of players here tonight who have looked good and proved they're all-stars.
Joe Morgan takes a strike from Hunter. Morgan has two home runs this year, but has surprising power on occasion for a little man, can get the ball around very well. Get the bat around and hit the ball long distance. Sand and I saw him hit a home run in the dome that there was no question about, and it's difficult to hit it there. 1-1 the count to him. Harrelson on at first, 4-2 the score in the last of the ninth inning. Did not go all the way around. Now, Bauerlich said he did go around. Fossey looked back and challenged him as Morgan looked like he went around. Nothing was said. Fossey looked back and said, what? And Bauerlich said it is a strike.
Knowing Al Bauerlich and how good an umpire he is, I'm sure that the late call on that came because he was checking with the third base umpire. The third base umpire will give the home plate umpire a sign on check swings to let him know if the batter went around.
2-2 to Morgan with one out. 4-2 the score. Last of the ninth inning, the American League leads. Hunter throws. Again a check swing by Morgan. And it's 3-2. Morgan trying to get on base, and kneeling on deck is Willie McCovey. The one thing Morgan does not want, of course, is a double play to end the ballgame. Give McCovey the shot at it. Breaking pitch, lines it to right field. Over quickly is Oliva. Picks it up, stopping at second is Harrelson. Men on first and second, and Willie McCovey the batter. And Earl Weaver quickly out of the dugout and probably will go to Peterson, the left-hander. The pitch to the left-handed, McCovey.
Jim, on the National League bench, you only have two players right now, except for the pitchers who have not been in the ballgame, and they are both right-hand hitters, both good right-hand hitters. Joe Torre of the Cardinals and Roberto Clemente of the Pirates. Clemente has had a problem with his neck, whether it's so bad that he can't hit or can't play. We don't know, but there is the possibility if Gil Hodges wanted to make the change, he's got two fellas sitting there who can hit the ball out of any ballpark anywhere.
Well, Hunter is gone. One third of an inning responsible thus far for one run. Three hits, retired just one man. And, of course, this game could be tied with both runs charged to Hunter, who cannot lose it.
Also seemed like something had to happen. It's just too good a lineup, both clubs, the National League and the American League club. And it was a great tribute to the American League pitching that they held it so long. But to hold that National League lineup to only three hits through nine innings, that's a great chore for a pitching staff to come up with. And it would be exactly the same kind of chore for the National League staff to hold the American League club to only three hits. So it took a while, but I think the talent on both these lineups is starting to show up. For the National League, is showing up very late, possibly too late for them. We can only wait and see right now.
As McCovey comes up, Roberto Clemente comes to the on-deck circle. So the National League has two great shots at it. McCovey, remember, however, he is working with that pulled hamstring muscle. And with the possibility of a double play, he will not be able to give it at all, his all going down the first base line. Peterson has won 10, lost 5. His earned run average 3.77 for the Yankees. And now is ready to pitch to Willie McCovey.
Jim, it's doubtful that you'd bunt with a hitter like McCovey, but the percentages, the rules of baseball, so-called, say that you play for a tie at home and play to win on the road. This is the home park for the National League, so there is still the possibility with McCovey, with Clemente on deck, that McCovey might be bunting, but I wouldn't look for it.
McCovey takes a giant swing. Strike one. Allison down at second base, Joe Morgan on at first base, and quickly Ray Fosse of the Indians out. To talk with Fritz Peterson. One out, last of the ninth. 4 runs, 9 hits, no errors for the American League. The National League with its perhaps last chance. 2 runs, 6 hits, no errors. Clyde Wright, left-hander of the Angels, now up and throwing. Joining Stottlemyre, the Yankees, in the American League bullpen. Osteen still down in the National League bullpen. 1 strike to McCovey. Peterson ready. Throws from the stretch, fouled off to the left and out of play by McCovey. And quickly, Peterson has him down 0-2. Clemente, who had a sore neck and did not come in until after the workout yesterday, kneeling on deck. Some questioned whether or not he would play. He thought he wouldn't, but he's here. Could be in a position to be the hero of the game that at one moment it looked like he wasn't going to play him. Peterson backs. Ground ball. Base hit. Hank Johnson. Elton comes on to score. It's 4-3. And the tying run, Morgan at third base, and Clemente the batter.
Covey at first base hit that ball pretty well. He's not the kind of hitter who's going to be intimidated because it's a left-hand pitcher. I'm sure that he'd be the first to admit that it's a lot easier for him to hit against right-handers, but he got up there and hit the ball hard, hit back through the middle, and right now the tying run is only 90 feet away, and the winning run's at first base, and I would think we may have a pinch runner here for McCovey. Gil Hodges out to talk to him, along with Lum Harris, the first base coach, to find out if Willie can run at all. And I would think that we're going to have a pinch runner. It might even be the pitcher, Claude Osteen.
Osteen is coming to run. Osteen coming in. McCovey marches off. And Roberto Clemente, with a .355 batting average, comes to bat. One out. The winning run is Claude Osteen over at first base. The tying run is Joe Morgan over at third base. One is out, and Earl Weaver is out of the dugout and marching toward the mound with a side dip to look at Fosse, calling him. American League Baltimore manager really wants to win this one. And with Clemente, a right-hander up, he might be going to the percentages, and to Stottlemyre out in the bullpen.
I would think definitely that he'll go with Stottlemyre. The one thing Earl needs right here, and needs badly, is the double play. Stottlemyre is a sinker ball pitcher. He keeps the ball low. He has a lot of ground balls hit off of him. But I can tell you that Clemente runs extremely well. He gets out of the box well. He gets down the line well. He doesn't hit into a lot of double plays. But he does hit the ball hard. And everybody says he just can't outrun the ball. So if he hits it hard on the ground at one of the infielders, there's a good chance of the double play, but he's a tough man to double.
Well, Stottlemyre comes in. He is the sixth American League pitcher, and he is the third in this, the ninth inning. We pause 30 seconds for station identification.
Stottlemyre in the ballgame now, as we said a little bit earlier, is a good low ball pitcher. He keeps most of his pitches down. He has a sinking fastball and a good slider and curveball, which he'll try and keep down. I think in this inning here, you'll probably see the American League play in a little bit at the corners and deep at short and second. They'll go for the double play if the ball is hit to the second baseman or the shortstop. I would think they'll go to the plate if it's hit to the first baseman or the third baseman. It's the ninth inning. You're on the road. You don't want to allow the other team to tie the ball game, because once you go into extra innings, well, the home team has got a great advantage.
Morgan, of course, has fine speed at third base. Flametti, he'd only hit a ball to the outfield, perhaps, to score the tying run and send this, the 41st Major League All-Star game, into extra innings. Flametti hitting at 355. Stottlemyre with an 8-8 record in the throw and throws. The ball is bouncing around in front of Fossey, gets behind him, but he finally digs it out. Ball one.
Yeah, I think that was a big break right there for the American League. I think that ball got by Fossey. I think it hit Al Barlick, and that's the only thing that kept it from going all the way to the backstop. So that was a big break for the American League. We could have had a tie ball game with a winning run in scoring position just as quickly as anything.
Stottlemyre, of course, has been a 20-game winner over the last 2 years, three of the last 4 years. 8-8, as we said, this year. And the second Yankee pitcher in this inning. 1-0 the count to Clemente. One out, last of the ninth, 4-3. Blown away. It's 2-0.
Here, I think in this situation, you also run into another problem. With the double play in order, both your second baseman and your shortstop have to cheat just a little bit so that they can make the play. And they're both bunched around second base. So if Clemente pulls the ball or hits it to right field, it's got a chance to go through.
Took a big swing, fouls it back. It's 2-1. Kneeling on deck, winner of the National League Batting Championship the last 2 years in a row, Pete Rhodes. 4-3, we are in the ninth inning, and this ball game, which cruised along strictly in the pitcher's hip pocket for a long while, is now broken open, and it's 4-3. With most of the scoring done since the seventh inning. Back again with a high pitch. Breaking pitches did not come down. It's 3-1 to Clemente. And he looks down quickly to Leo DeRocher, who just gives him a fist and claps his hands. Clemente can hit anything near the plate, over the plate, or not so near the plate. A choice bad ball hitter, but a great hitter. The 3-1 pitch, he swings at it and looked like it was in on him, but he fouled it back. And now asks for something to get his hands. It is very moist and humid to get his hands dry and perhaps stickier. The humidity is very high, the temperature is very high, and has been all day and much of the evening. So now, 3-2 and one out, the tying run at third base, the winning run on at first, and a four-time National League batting champion, Roberto Clemente, at the bat, facing a three-time 20-game winner, Mel Stottlemyre. Stottlemyre is ready, a drive out of the center field. Over comes the center fielder, Otis, makes a fine catch, but here comes Morgan. We've got a tie game.
Crowd, there's no doubt that this is not a nonpartisan crowd. Cincinnati, a great baseball town, the oldest franchise in baseball, really rooting for the National Leaguers here tonight.
Pete Rose, their hero, the batter, and takes a strike at the knees. High game, two out now. Go ahead run. Crotto's seen running from a cubby on at first base. That ball by Clemente was well hit on the 3-2 pitch. Another pitch is outside this time. The Rose at 1-1. Pete has walked and struck out. The Cincinnati batters tonight have been disappointing for the home crowd. Johnny Bench, as we said, struck out three times. Tony Perez struck out twice and popped up to the infield. Rose has walked and struck out. They'd like some action from their fine hitters. Swing and a miss. It's 1-2. And the scoreboard in center field says, how do you like the show so far? 4-4. They've tied it up with a man out in the last of the ninth inning. Roberto Clemente driving in Morgan from third base. Another swing and Rose strikes out again, but the National League with three runs from the ninth inning ties it. On four hits, no errors and one left at the end of nine. American League 4, National League 4. Hello again from Cincinnati's Riverfront Stadium. Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax and Len Dillon. Claude Osteen, who came on to run for McCovey while warming up, stays in to do the pitching. Jim Hickman has come in from left field to play first base. Pete Rose has gone from right to left. And Roberto Clemente, who tied the ball game up, has gone into right field.
Jim, right now you'd have to say that the National League does have a little bit of an edge. As soon as you go into extra innings and you're tied, it's just a great advantage to the home team. It becomes sudden death for them. If the American League can score here, well, the National League still has another chance. But any time the National League can score, if they can hold the American League down, it's a sudden death victory. And it's a nice feeling when you're at home and you're in extra innings.
Well, Earl Weaver made all of the moves, Sandy, trying to pull the victory out for the American League the first time after seven straight years, but he doesn't have it yet. It's 4-4. Here's Yastrzemski, who the last three times up has hit the first pitch, one deep to center field, the other two for singles. Claude Osteen to do the pitching, and this time he can't hit the first pitch. It's in the dirt and through the legs of the catcher, Dick Dietz. Yastrzemski will be followed by Willie Horton. We are in the top of the 10th inning, 4-4 the score. No score until the American League got one in the sixth. The National League got three in the last of the ninth. Yastrzemski grounds one. Hickman backs on it. Osteen comes over quickly to cover first. Almost missed the bag and had to swoop in on it, but does for the first out.
Looked like Claude might have got just a little disorientated with that baseline. I would think that it might be a little difficult to get yourself lined up. Most of the time, the pitcher likes to cut over to the baseline and then try and run parallel to it. And here, with all that green, it looked like he had a little trouble finding it.
At bat now, Willie Horton, who singled the last time up and scored one of the two runs in the eighth inning off Bob Gibson. Now, this game now belongs to Claude Osteen and Mel Stottlemyre. By an outside pitch to Horton, it's ball one. Horton, of course, has great power. Willie made the news by the other day, well, I guess it's been a week or more now, that he gave a big cookout for the ground crew at the stadium. Here's a drive to deep right field. Clemente going back, looking up, off the wall, plays it there. Horton goes toward second base, and that's one of the longest singles you'll see. Clemente with that rifle arm fires it in, playing it off the fence. And Horton has a long single about 385 feet away.
Sir, I think in addition to his great arm, Roberto Clemente could possibly be a billiard master if he put his mind to it. I've never seen him play a ball off the wall and be in bad position. He catches balls off irregular walls. He's always in the right place. And he has made some of the longest singles look pretty futile when base runners try and go for two.
Amos Otis, who swung at the first pitch he saw in his first appearance in the eighth and flied to right, is the batter. Horton at first base. Otis takes inside from Claude Osteen. That was a ball, remember, hit to right field. And Horton is a right-handed batter, showing you he has power in all directions. 1-0 now to Amos Otis of Kansas City, playing center field. Made a fine running catch an inning or so ago. Back again, ground ball, could be double play. Shortstop to second base, Morgan on to Hickman, double play. And actually comes to bat in the last of the 10th inning with a high ball game, 4-4. Hal Stottlemyre will face Bill DeMarkiewicz of the Dodgers in the last of the 10th inning. He flied a short left, last time up, his only other time up, and a good breaking pitch from Stottlemyre, strike one. On deck is Hickman. National League got three in the last of the ninth at tight. Stottlemyre has him swinging this time, fouling it at the plate, and two strikes to DeMarkiewicz. Billy, in his first All-Star game, fourth in the league in hitting. DeMarkiewicz is hitting .340. He hits this one high to short left field. Horton was playing deep, still on the dead run. Now says he's got it and takes it, turning toward second base. And very close to the shortstop, Aparicio. Here is Hickman, who's popped out and struck out. Dangerous hitter, the Chicago Cubs outfielder, infielder, plays both the outfield as well as first base. And tonight he's been forced to playing first base here, as Dick Allen and Willie McCovey, two first basemen, are out of the lineup. They've been in the ball game and now out. 1-0 pitches right down the middle. 1-1 to Jim Hickman of Chicago. 4 runs, 10 hits, no errors for the American League. 4 runs, 7 hits, no errors for the National League. Last of the 10th in Cincinnati. The National League has got three in the last of the ninth to stave off a defeat. Swinging strike to Hickman. It's 1-2. Stottlemyre came on, gave up a single to McCovey and a hard liner. That was caught by Clemente. And Hickman strikes out. Stottlemyre has now struck out two. And here is Dietz. First time up in an all-star game in the ninth inning. He started it all by hitting a ball 404 feet away for a home run in his first at-bat as an all-star. Takes a fastball outside. It's 1-0.
Jim, we've got a little note here that there have been five previous extra-inning games, and they've all been won by the National League.
Last one was that 15-inning affair. There's a line drive right to Davey Johnson at second. It's all over. That last one in 1967, won by Tony Perez. No runs, hits, or errors. At the end of 10, we've still got a tie ball game, 4-4. From Riverfront Stadium on a hot and humid but exciting night. This is the 41st Major League All-Star Game, and this is Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax and Lynn Dillon. 4 runs, 10 hits, no errors for the American League. 4 runs, 7 hits, no errors for the National League. We go now to the 11th inning. And Brooks Robinson, who has singled and scored a run and tripled in two in the 8th inning, is the batter as Clyde Wright begins to warm again for the American League. 1967, 2-1 on Perez's home run. 15 innings, National League. 1966, 10 innings, 2-1, National League. 1961, in the first game of two that year, 10 innings, 5-4, National League. 1955, 12 innings, 6-5, National League. And 1950, 14 innings, 4-3, National League. Robinson having a great night thus far and is facing the left-hander, Claude Osteen, as we go to the top of the 11th inning. Osteen is ready to throw, and Brooks takes outside. Ball one. Robinson, right-handed batter, waits for Osteen. The Dodgers' next throw, again outside. It's 2-0. Well, there are not many people, when you start to maneuver now, Sandy, that either manager has left with which to maneuver.
So I think other than pitchers, the only player Gil Hodges has left is Joe Torre, the catcher from the Cardinals.
Grounder on three hops to the shortstop, who throws out Robinson. Harrelson over to Hickman. One out on the 11th.
And manager Weaver has only catcher Moses. Roy White, if he's able to play, as you said, he was hit before the game. We don't know if he's in uniform still. And Sandy Alomar.
Tony Oliva, who has walked and flied to right. Oliva, of course, has power and can go to all fields. Gaston, realizing he is a left-handed batter, pulls him around to pull to right. But Oliva, as American leaguers know, can go anyway.
I think only the center fielder has moved in any one direction. Both the right and left fielder are playing him sort of straight away. He can hit the ball all over, but the center fielder has to commit himself one way or the other, even so he can just see the ball. The pitcher isn't in the way.
First pitch from Osteen is high, and it's 1-0 to Tony Oliva, the Minnesota Twins. Osteen ready, and Oliva fouls it off. It's 1-1. Well, I know, for example, in Europe, where they're listening on AFRTS, it's not only late here in the United States, where it's after 11 o'clock in the Eastern time zone, but it's tomorrow morning. Many of our American forces and folks overseas are probably getting up and having breakfast and listening to this game. Foul back again by Oliva. It's 1-2. One out, 11th inning, 4-4. Claude Osteen is the fifth pitcher. Seaver started, had a fine 3 innings. Merritt worked well for his 2. Then Perry gave up a couple of runs. Gibson 2 more. Osteen now working. Osteen ready to throw. 1-2, and there's a drive down the line. In right field, it is fair. Oliva is on his way around first base. The rifle arm of Clemente and the throw into second base. And I want to tell you, Oliva just does get there with a double. Clemente from the deepest corner by the line. Got a ball on one hop to Morgan, the second baseman at second. But the go-ahead run is at second base. And here's Davey Johnson looking for his second hit of the night. He's got an infield hit, 1-for-4.
Clemente made a good play on that ball. There's not much you could do with it. There's no way to keep it from being a double. Oliva runs too well. Clemente got the ball in as quickly as he could with a strong throw, but it was an easy double for Tony.
Davey Johnson, right-handed batter, trying to get Oliva around, ground ball. Oliva has to hold up, charging in from third base. Grabarkiewicz throwing on to Hickman at first, and Johnson is out, and Oliva has to hold on. Well, if there's ever a hero, here's the one for the American League thus far tonight, one of them at least. In his first All-Star game, he singled and scored a run in the sixth. His line drive sacrifice fly drove in a run in the seventh, and he walked in the ninth. Ray Fosse. And with that in mind, first base open, Gil Hodges comes running out to talk to Claude Osteen.
Well, with the open base, Jim, and Roy White, as I see now, is on deck. I'm glad to see that the injury was not bad enough to keep him out of the ballgame. I think Gil came out to ask Claude whether he'd rather pitch to Fosse or pitch to White, or whether he knows how to pitch to Fosse, just to make sure.
Fosse, as we said, and his uniform has been dripping for some time, steps in, completely drenched, just as though somebody turned a hose on him, catching behind the plate in this high temperature, high humidity night in Cincinnati, Ohio. Osteen is now ready. Strike on the outside corner. Fosse looks at it. Oliva started off second base, walks back, not quite, checks around to see where Morgan is, where Harrelson is, second baseman and shortstop at the National League, making sure no one is sneaking in behind him. Osteen working from the stretch, looking back now to Oliva, and throwing, ground ball. Harrelson at shortstop scoops it up, throws on to first base, and they've got him. A run, one hit, no errors, one left. We go to the last for the 11th, and it's a 4-4 tie.
At the end of 10.5 innings, it is the American League. 4 runs, 11 hits, no errors. The National League, 4 runs, 7 hits, and no errors. Jim?
Well, Clyde Wright has come on the pitch. He's a left-hander. As we go to the last of the 11th inning, and as a matter of fact, Earl Weaver has no more right-handers. Still in the bullpen, Mike Cuellar of Baltimore, Dave McNally of Baltimore, and both are left-handers. Sandy Alomar has gone in to play second base. So whatever Earl Weaver and the American League do, they're going to do it with left-handers. Clyde Wright, 27 years old, born in Johnson City, Tennessee. He was 1-8 last year, believe it or not. This year, he's 12-6. And he's going to face a fellow that's having a good night, switch hitter Ken Harrelson, who has 2 hits and has scored 2 runs. Horner, a left-hander of the Phillies now, warms up for the National League. Harrelson with a 266 average. Clyde Wright, the owner of a no-hitter against Oakland on July 3rd.
That's a pretty good hitting ball club, the Oakland club.
4-4 the score, last to the 11th. Harrelson now steps in as Al Bolick was yelling up to the public address system here. Wright ready. Strike. Call from Wright. Well, this has been quite a ball game. The National League came up with 3 in the last of the ninth, and here we are, 4-4. There's a drive down the line, but it's pulled foul, and Harrelson doesn't hit him much better than that. He really got around on that ball. Now I begin to realize what the Cincinnati papers quoted the White House as saying about President Nixon. He's going to stay until the last out. Well, this ball game is now 3 hours old. It's still going, and Mr. Nixon is still here. 2-strike pitch to Harrelson. This one is hit to center field. And Amos Otis is right there, moving only a few steps to his right, and has it for the first out of the National League 11. And Gaston, Clarence Gaston of San Diego, has walked and popped to the first baseman as the batter. Coming out on deck is Joe Morgan. Sandy and I have pointed out there's not much maneuvering to be done here. Sandy Alomar is now in the ballgame. Moses has not yet played. And the pitchers who are left in the American League are all left-handed. Ball one. Roy White, of course, the switch hitter, was out, ready to swing last time, but never got up. 1-0, right, left-hander moving to the right-hander, Gaston, who does have power, ground ball very fast, Alomar goes to his knees, takes it, and throws onto Yastrzemski at first base. 2 down.
Jim, it's interesting to see the way some of the infielders have played on the right side of the infield. Your second baseman, your first baseman, the ball gets to them so quickly they have time to to get down on one knee to feel the ball before throwing it to first.
Two outs now, and Joe Morgan, the left-hander, steps in against the left-hander Clyde Wright. 4-4 the score. Last of the 11th inning of the 41st Major League All-Star Game. The pitch is low to Morgan, ball one. 4 runs, 11 hits, no errors for the American League. 4 runs, 7 hits, no errors for the National League. Wright back and throwing low again. Horner, Wilhelm, and Simpson, who last pitched on Sunday, remain available. The manager, Gil Hodges. 2-0 pitch, again low from Wright. And suddenly, he has lost the touch and has thrown 3 low pitches, and it's 3-0 to Joe Morgan. Claude Osteen kneeling on deck. 3-0 pitch, right down the middle. 3-1. Osteen wears the blue and the white of the Dodgers, is wearing a red batting helmet, and for the moment threw me off. 3-1, right, ready to go again. Swing and a miss on the 3-1 pitch. Ball popped out of the glove of Fosse, and it's now 3-2.
Jim Osteen is a good hitting pitcher. He has pinch hit for the Dodgers many times, but he's not that crazy about hitting against left-handers.
With the long wait, now ready on 3-2, ground ball, it's fouled, skips past Lumen Harris, the coach at first base, picked up by the bullpen catcher in the National League bullpen. So it is still 3-2, with 2 out in the last 11th inning. The crowd for the moment, very quiet at Riverfront Stadium. Beautiful stadium, opened up here at the end of June. 3-2 pitch. He didn't mean to do it, but check swing, ball goes to the shortstop, which goes on to first, and they've got him. A runs, hits, or errors. We're at the end of the 11th inning now. The American League 4, the National League 4. Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax and Len Dillon. The All-Star Game, Cincinnati, Ohio, top of the 12th inning, and up for the first time is Sandy Alomar. In his first All-Star Game, he's a switch hitter, 26 years old, born and still lives in Salinas, Puerto Rico. Good base runner, and having a fine year. Alomar hitting at 260, and at one time had a hitting streak. Check swing, but the ball is a strike. It's 0-1 to Alomar. He had a 22-game hitting streak, broken just about 2 weeks ago at Kansas City. 4-4 the score. Osteen throws outside, and it's 1-1 now to Alomar. Now, no runs at all scored until the 6th inning. And the National League went into the last of the 9th inning trailing 4-1. Deets led it off with a home run. The many sacrifice fly tied it up later. Ball hits the right field. Clemente is there. Backs a little bit now. Taps his glove and takes it for the first out of the 12th. Line drive off the bat of Alomar, but to the opposite field. And here is the oldest man who is a starter for either team, Luis Aparicio, and he's been there all the way. He and Yastrzemski are the only ones left who started this game, and now in the 12th inning find themselves still here. Aparicio fouls one back near a camera position down along the third baseline. 0-1. Osteen used to pitch for Cincinnati at one time. Foul at the plate now. Jumps out in front of the plate on the artificial turf, picked up by Dietz. Well, in case you just joined us, we are in the Riverfront Stadium. The score is 4-4, and if you didn't hear our description of the Riverfront Stadium before, it is almost completely artificially turfed, with just 20 by 20 sections around first, second, and third. There is no skin of the infield. What used to be the dirt part of the infield is completely artificially turfed. Well, this time that's been done in baseball. 0-2 now to Aparicio. 1 out in the 12th. Outside pitch from Osteen. It's 1-2. On deck is Carl Yastrzemski, who has had quite an all-star game. And this is his 6th all-star game and his 4th start. It's been a long one. 1-2 pitch. Low and in the dirt. 2-2 to Aparicio. If you're wondering where Sandy is, Sandy Koufax, he's moved over for the moment to the television side of our NBC coverage of this, the 41st Major League All-Star Baseball game. 2-2 now to the right-handed Luis Saparicio, 36 years old. Swings and rips one toward the American League dugout, bounces off the fence, and will be secured down the left field line by Russ Getz, an umpire of the American League. Osteen wiping his brow using the back of the sleeve, wearing the long sleeves tonight. Throws now, drive to center field. Gaston started in, now just waits there and takes the line drive for the second out. Two balls have been hit hard off Osteen, a liner to right, now a liner to center, but he's gotten both of them in out, and here's Yastrzemski. Yastrzemski singled in the first, hit the first pitch, and backed Willie Mays to the center field wall before he caught it in the fourth. Single in the sixth, single and scored a run in the eighth, and grounded to the first baseman in the tenth. Yastrzemski has 21 home runs this year, but it's a left-hander against a left-hander. Did he take a swing? Goes to his left knee. Big, hard swing, trying to perhaps end it and miss the 12th inning. Ball pops out of the mat, but the glove of Dick Dietz, but Barlick says that it did tick the bat of Carl Yastrzemski, so that's strike two. Yastrzemski did not offer it the ball, but had his bat out over the plate, holding it high, and it did hit it. Hickman, as all good infielders do in the late innings, is guarding that line down along first base. Doesn't want the extra base hit. Yastrzemski fouls it off to the left, and out of play up behind home plate. That's 0-2, and now again that flag in right center field begins to blow. For a long time, the winds were still here in Cincinnati. Two strikes to Yastrzemski, two out in the 12th inning for the American League. Low and away, it's 1-2. Well, the National League used Seaver, then Merritt, then Terry, then Gibson, then Osteen. The American League, Palmer, McDowell, Terry, Hunter, Peterson, Stottlemyre, and Clyde Wright is working. Yastrzemski hits the drive to center field. In comes Gaston. Has it? No, he doesn't. It got by Yastrzemski digging for second. Gaston's throw is low and bounds away from Harrelson. Gaston thought he had it, was slow in retrieving it, and then slow in doing something with it. Yastrzemski never hesitated and seemed a second, catching Gaston by surprise, and his ball was thrown into the artificial turf. And the go-ahead run is at second base, and Carl Yastrzemski has his fourth base hit of the evening. And Horton, who is 2-for-2, is the batter. And Dick Dietz is pointing at first base saying, put him on. Oh, they're going to put Willie Horton on. Home run threat. Trying to get to Amos Otis, the youngster from Kansas City, who has fly to right and hit into a double play. Otis, though, carries with him a fine batting average of .310. That's ball three. Now Osteen throws to Dietz. Ball four. And Horton drops down to first base. And with two out, men on first and second, Amos Otis, the youngster from Kansas City, gets the chance to do it all. Third walk given up by National League pitching. This one, of course, intentional. Otis came over to Kansas City in the trade that brought Joe Ford to Kansas City. Right-handed batter. 23 years old. Drive to right field. Cometti started in, now goes back, puts his glove up, and one-hands it for the final out. Osteen in a lot of trouble, and got out of a lot of trouble. No runs, one hit, no errors, two left. In the middle of the 12th, it's 4-4. Jim Simpson with Sandy Koufax and Len Dillon back in Cincinnati, last of the 12th, and Joe Torre is the batter, and this is the last man that Gil Hodges has to use aside from pitchers. Clyde Wright, the pitcher, and throws. It's outside. Torrey hitting at .307, 10 home runs, 47 RBIs. And, of course, he plays now with the St. Louis Cardinals. Has been a catcher, first baseman, and a little bit of third base. The 1-0 count from Wright misses. Yastrzemski's fourth hit ties an all-star game record. Joe Medwick had four hits in 1937. Ted Williams in 1946 had the name Carl Yastrzemski in 1970. 2-0. Pitches inside, and as Wright, when he ran into trouble back in the 11th inning and began to miss with Joe Morgan, his pitches were all low. 3-0 now, and he hasn't come up to the waist yet of Torrey. Been down by the knees or lower. Comes down with the automatic strike this time, chest high. It's 3-1. Torrey looks down to DeRocher to see what it is he's supposed to do. 4-4. We're in the last of the 12th. And as Sandy pointed out, and as you know, I'm sure, being the last of the 12th, the last of any inning, the National League has the advantage. One run, and they've got it. Drive, Robinson is handcuffed by it, but the good first third baseman throws. What a play! Yastrzemski went high in the air, he was off the bag, and leaped in midair and tied Torrey as he went by. John Rice called Torrey out. Bill had something to say, but goes back. Brooks Robinson on this AstroTurf was handcuffed. Came up with the ball and had to throw while leaping in midair. Yastrzemski leapt in midair and turned, spinning while in midair, and tagged out Torrey, who, of course, is not one of the fastest men in the world, and therefore that play could develop, and Joe still not reach first base. Well, Roberto Clemente, in a vicious line drive that Otis hauled down in center field, his drive in the tying run in the ninth inning takes strike one from Clyde Wright. Well, that time Wright was in trouble. 3-0 to Torrey. He got a called strike and got him on a 3-1 pitch. And a couple of fine bits of playing by Brooks Robinson and Carter Strunsky. Pitch is low, and it's 1-1 to Roberto Clemente. Clemente, a .355 hitter in the regular season. Hits it off the fists and is picked up by Sandy Alomar. It goes on to Strunsky, and they're two out in the National League 12. Brings up Pete Rose, and boy, Rose now switches around the bat from the right side, the switch hitter, and with the Cincinnati fans love to see him end it. The Cincinnati hitters have not been hitting tonight, and Rose has walked and struck out twice. Perez struck out twice. Bench struck out three times. Wright throws, low and in the dirt, dug out by Fawcett. Wright ready for the 1-0 pitch. Two out, last of the 12th, 4-4 in this All-Star baseball game. Very high, and it's 1-1. Make that 2-0. Beg your pardon. Taking his time on the mound. We'll repeat again. It is a very hot, humid, muggy night. Here comes the 2-0 pitch to Rose, and he laces a single up the middle. Otis comes over, goes down to one knee. Rose starts as though he's going to second base, but Otis hustles his throw into Alomar, and he retreats. Well, the winning run, Pete Rose, and that's the first Cincinnati player hit. And now the batter, Billy Grabarkiewicz of the Los Angeles Dodgers. 3.41 is average, but tonight he's fly to very short left and grounded the short. 4-4 the score, two out, last of the 12th. Right throw, swing by Grabarkiewicz, strike. Four runs, 12 hits, no errors for the American League. Four runs, eight hits, no errors for the National League. And Al Bodick, a veteran of 30 years in the majors, is having a long night tonight behind home plate as the umpire. Another swinging strike by Grabarkiewicz, and on each occasion, he's been completely fooled by the Clyde Wright pitches. He's been played just up and down the road from one another. Grabarkiewicz up at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, right down at the Big A in Anaheim, California. Two strikes now. Rose leading off at first base. Still on the infield portion, meaning the dirt. Pitches inside and low, and it's 1-2. Ball game creeping up on being 3.5 hours long. Each team has nearly exhausted its resources of hitters. High and away from Grabarkiewicz, it's 2-2. On deck, of course, is Jim Hickman of the Cubs. Joe Horner, Wayne Simpson and Hoyt Wilhelm, pitchers all, are the only ones that Gil Hodges has left. Wright throws, ground ball, Aparicio can't get to it. Goes into left field. He rolls the winning run, stops at second base. And Hickman, a hero for the Chicago Cubs late last year and all of this year, comes up to the plate. Right-handed batter facing the left-handed Clyde Wright, but as we pointed out, Earl Weaver of Baltimore in the American League has only left-handers left. Both Baltimoreans, Mike Fayard and Dave McNally. Pete Rose at second. Bill Grabarkiewicz at first. Jim Hickman at bat. Hickman, a 335 hitter this year. ...19 home runs, 63 RBIs. Wright looks back, throws. Hickman takes high, ball one. On deck is Dick Dietz, who has hit a home run tonight and lined to the second baseman. Wright staring in, 4-4 the score. We're in the last of the 12th inning. A throw, strike right at the knees. One and one. Marlick behind the plate we told you about of the National League. John Rice of the American League at first base. Frank Sicori of the National League at second. Bill Howler of the American League at third. Frank Deslin of the National League in the right field line. And Russ gets the American League along the left field line. One and one to the waiting Jim Hickman. And right into the stretch. Looking back and throws up the middle. Throws is on his way around. Picked up by Otis. Throws is coming to the plate. Throws a throw. He's in. It's all over. The National League wins. Barreled into Ray Fosse, who is slow in getting up, trying to block the plate. The ball wasn't there yet, and Rose just rolled her shoulder into him, and Fosse is being led away, but the National League is now on its eighth in a row. The line drive single of the Chicago Cubs, Jim Hickman, scores Cincinnati's Pete Rose. The final score, the National League 5, the American League 4, and we'll be back in just a moment with a recap of the game's highlights right after this message. Well, they'll talk about this for a long time. That makes 23 wins for the National League, 17 for the American League, and one tie. 4-1, the score going into the last of the ninth inning. The National League tied it up. Then in the 12th inning, Rose singled with two out, followed by Grabarkiewicz's single that just narrowly went under the glove of Luis Aparicio, the 36-year-old shortstop, going to his right. Rose stopped at second, and Jim Hickman, the man that we have said has been a star over the latter part of last year and the early part of this year for the Chicago Cubs, and was picked over Billy Williams by Gil Hodges, and that raised a lot of eyebrows. But Gil Hodges is vindicated, as it is Hickman, who drives in the winning run, and it's 5 runs on 10 hits, no errors for the National League, 4 runs, 12 hits, and no errors for the American League. Their 8th win in a row for the National League, and the 8th time in a row they have not committed an error. We'll be back with more highlights of tonight's All-Star game in just a moment. This morning you got up and shaved the whiskers off your face. You thought your razor shaved me and didn't leave a trace. But now you touch your face and find those tiny whiskers left behind. You got the dust. So shave it with a great magnetic razor by Gillette. It gets enough, those tiny whiskers your razor may not get. You hardly ever get an ink or cut. Magnetic still, but it gets enough. Wrap up. Here is Len Dillon.
How can a sales clerk who joined the Retail Clerks Union only a few years ago retire with $100 a month or more in addition to her Social Security? Well, her union agreement provides that her employer contribute into a pension trust for each hour of employment, and all active years of work are credited to her pension fund. For more information, check your telephone book for the Retail Clerks Union or write to the Retail Clerks International Association, Washington, D.C., 20006. Jim, for the final wrap-up.
And for a final word, Sandy Koufax.
Thank you, Jim. Well, it was another great ball game, and as the pattern held out, the National League just keeps winning the extra inning ball games. Good pitching on both clubs, occasional little spotty pitching. A tough situation for Clyde Wright. Every pitch he threw could have been the last pitch of the ball game. He was in sudden death all the time.
But everybody did a good job, and the only thing I can hope is that Ray Fosse wasn't hurt. He's having a fine year, and I'd hate to see anybody hurt in the All-Star game.
Well, Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, was going to score that. As a matter of fact, Joe Cronin of the American League, and of course Pete plays in the National League, came over to him during the workouts here and said, Pete, you ought to stop going in head first. You're liable to get hurt. Well, he really came in head first and barreled into Fosse, but scored the winning run, and Fosse did walk off, apparently under his own power.
I think he did, Jim. The problem was with his arm, and you never know. You just hope that he's all right. Charlie Hustle, as you call him, Pete Rose, what everybody calls him, it looked like he was going to slide first, head first, and looked up and saw the catcher had the plate blocked, and you just can't slide head first into those shin guards. So at the last minute, he just sort of hit Fosse with a body block and broke open the play and did not let Fosse even catch the ball, and then just fell down in a heap, both of them, on the plate.
Well, to recap for you, 5 runs, 10 hits, no errors for the National League, 4 runs, 12 hits, no errors for the American League, and the losing pitcher, Clyde Wright, the winning pitcher was Claude Osteen. It's the 8th in a row. It took 3 hours and 19 minutes and 12 innings to play here at the brand new Riverfront Stadium. And to show you what's going on now, they're putting the top down, but since it is all artificially turf, all they have to do is put a little top over first base, second base, third base, over the pitcher's mound and over around home plate. They can leave the entire infield open because they do have artificial turf. 8 wins in a row for the National League. They haven't decided where the next All-Star meeting will be, but NBC will be there, and I hope you'll be with us. In the meantime, you have a year's worth of memories of this fine All-Star game at the brand-new Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. Our producer's been Len Dillon. Our engineer, Ed Kukas from WKYC in Cleveland. Tonight's 41st Major League Baseball All-Star game has been brought to you by STP. Makers of world-famous products for your car.